This is Kim Kasnick, Office Manager for IE America Radio Network, hoping you and your family have a happy holiday.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. Guerrillas ambushed a U.S. military patrol with small arms fire, killing one soldier, the military said Thursday, and suspected Saddam Hussein loyalists killed a representative of a major Shiite political party. The U.S. soldier was killed Wednesday night when the 1st Armored Division patrol came under fire in Al-Karma in northwest Baghdad, the military said. Another American was injured, as was an Iraqi interpreter. In Baghdad, suspected followers of Saddam shot to death Muhammad al-Hakim, a representative of a major Shiite party and a member of a prominent political family. U.S. Senator Bill Nelson said Monday the Bush administration last year told him and other senators that Iraq not only had weapons of mass destruction, but they had the means to deliver them to East Coast cities. The website truthout.org reports that Nelson, a Florida Democrat, said about 75 senators got that news during a classified briefing before last October's congressional vote authorizing the use of force to remove Saddam Hussein from power. Nelson voted in favor of using military force. Nelson said he couldn't reveal who in the administration gave the briefing. The White House directed questions about the matter to the Department of Defense. Defense officials had no comment on Nelson's claim. For the first time, the chairman of the independent commission investigating the September 11th attacks is saying publicly that 9/11 could have and should have been prevented, reports CBS News. This is a very, very important part of history, and we've got to tell it right, said Thomas Kane. As you read the report, you're going to have a pretty clear idea what wasn't done and what should have been done, he said. This was not something that had to happen. There are people that, if I was doing the job, would certainly not be in the position they were in at the time because they failed. They simply failed, Kane said. Kane promises major revelations in public testimony beginning next month from top officials in the FBI, CIA, Defense Department, National Security Agency, and maybe President Bush and former President Clinton. More IE America Network news after this.
Hello, I'm Rita Moreno. You may have a serious eye condition and not even know it. Vision loss is not a normal part of aging. Some vision changes are normal. Some are due to eye disease. Do you know the difference? Open your eyes to the facts. To get more information about vision and aging or to find out about what help is available if you're having vision problems, call Lighthouse International at 1-800-829-0500 or visit www.lighthouse.org.
Modern-day aviators failed on Wednesday to duplicate the pioneering flight of the Wright brothers as a replica of their primitive 1903 flying machine flopped in the mud at the site of the original flight. An exact copy of the Wright flyer trundled down a wooden rail, but failed to generate the speed and lift necessary to fly. For IE America Network News, this is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Can I help you, sir?
I'm panicked. I'm dating. What should I get for the stocking stuffer? Is an oven mitt too personal?
Okay, listen. Get a gift that every woman loves. A Venus razor.
Every woman?
With just one stroke, I get silky smooth skin, which makes me feel like a goddess.
Oh, I love a silky smooth goddess.
Then a Venus razor will solve your gift-giving problem.
Ah, make it 9 Venus razors.
9?
I'm dating a lot.
Looking for the perfect stocking stuffer for all the women on your list? The Venus razor from Gillette. Reveal the goddess in you.
Old loopholes never die. They just get loopier and loopier. One such is a special tax break gouged into federal law back in 1980 by corporate lobbyists. In response to the energy crisis of the time, this loophole was ostensibly created to give companies an incentive to devise marketable alternatives to imported oil. But all it really has done is give companies an excuse to dodge paying the taxes they owe to Uncle Sam. The loophole is the Synfuels tax credit for companies that reprocess coal to create new synthetic fuels. But the law's provisions are so vague that corporations have been able to claim the tax break even if their reprocessing doesn't work, doesn't reduce our dependence on oil, actually uses oil products in the so-called reprocessing, is never marketed, or is just plain silly. How silly? So silly that the IRS has given the SynFuels tax credit to companies that have done nothing but spray starch or diesel fuel or even Elmer's glue on coal. Corporations, ranging from utilities to the Marriott hotel chain, have leapt through this loophole like wolves leaping for a lamb chop. The result is that they have dodged about $2 billion a year in taxes they owe, a wad that the rest of us ordinary taxpayers have to make up, either in increased taxes or reduced services. This scam will soon grow to $10 billion a year, for more corporations have spied the lamb chop and are going for it. Finally, the IRS decided to crack down by reviewing whether the company's so-called SynFuels actually worked. Yet, even this long overdue step was assailed by SynFuel profiteers, their lobbyists, and their puppets in Congress. They went after the IRS, threatening the agency's enforcement budget and hauling the IRS commissioner to the woodshed. Unsurprisingly, the IRS recently succumbed to the corporate pressure. This is Jim Hightower saying, so the loopiness keeps getting loopier and the rich keep getting richer.
Another audio clip from the production meeting. Doug Steffen.
What production meeting?
The drive. You know how many radio stations we're on? We must be doing something right, guys.
Imagine if we really tried.
Dude. Yeah, yeah.
If we don't care, and it shows.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Calling for a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, here's Tom Hartman.
Well, it looks like they're coming out. The leaks, the information. They can't keep it under wraps. Here we have now the chairman, the Republican, former Republican governor of New Jersey, appointed by George Bush. Figured he had a good old boy who would protect him. The head of the independent commission investigating the 9/11 attacks, and according to CBS News. Well, I'll read you the thing, because this is huge. For the first time, this is from CBSNews.com. For the first time, the chairman of the independent commission investigating this. Now, before I finish reading this, remember last week how all the Sturm und Drang, all the storm and fury that whipped up around Howard Dean saying that maybe the president had advanced knowledge of 9/11. Everybody was all upset. How could he say that? You see all these talk show hosts and these TV shows. And he's irresponsible. He's shooting from the hip. He's got a big mouth. There he goes again. I can't believe it. Well, Howard Dean was only sharing what had been in the New York Times a couple of years ago. And apparently it has now made its way to the chairman of the 9/11 Commission. We'll start again. For the first time, the chairman of the independent commission investigating the September 11 attacks is saying publicly that 9/11 could have and should have been prevented by, well, he says this is a, I would say, by the Bush administration. This is a very, very important part of history, and we've got to tell it right, said Thomas Keene. As you read the report, you're going to get a pretty clear idea what wasn't done and what should have been done. This is not something that had to happen. Speaking of 9/11. Keene, you know, they point out that he was the Republican governor of New Jersey. He was appointed by George Bush. And they say he is now pointing fingers inside the administration and laying blame. Keene said, there are people that, if I was doing the job, would certainly not be in the position they were in at that time because they failed. They simply failed. They go on to point out that in order to get this kind of information, he had to threaten a subpoena to gain access to the president's top secret daily briefs. CBS News goes on to point out that Condoleezza Rice, on May 16th of last year, in a televised interview, said, quote, "I don't think anybody could have predicted that they would try to use an airplane as a missile, a hijacked airplane as a missile." And yet, one of the four New Jersey widows who lobbied Congress and the president to appoint the commission, this is not, I mean, you know, after Pearl Harbor, it didn't take FDR very long to appoint a commission to find out what happened. But here we have the administration had to be basically shamed into it by four widows, four 9/11 widows. You remember the big thing? Repeatedly, I mean, you know, just constantly bringing it out. Why doesn't somebody? And then he appointed Henry Kissinger. You know, he'll take care of it. And then Kissinger, it turns out, you know, not only is an indicted war criminal, but also has all these other conflicts of interest, shall we say. So he bowed out, and now he puts in the governor, the Republican governor of New Jersey. So anyhow, Kristen Breitweiser, one of these four New Jersey widows who lobbied Congress, says, "How is it possible to have a national security advisor coming out and saying they had no idea they would use planes as weapons when we had FBI records from 1991 stating that this is a possibility?" Again, I'll repeat it. I was in a private briefing with Sandy Berger, the equivalent of Condoleezza Rice, national security advisor to Bill Clinton, in Washington, D.C. last month, and he said, you know, when we handed off our information to Condi Rice and to this administration, we said, your number one priority has to be Osama bin Laden. He is, shall we say, up to no good. I'm paraphrasing, or I'm telling you in my words what I got from what he said. Anyhow, she says, if you were to tell me that 2 years after the murder of my husband in 9/11, that we wouldn't have one question answered, I wouldn't believe it, she said. And yet, that would have been the case. And still is. I mean, the administration is still stonewalling these records. However, Keene, former New Jersey Republican Governor Thomas Keene, promises, according to the CBS News, major revelations in public testimony beginning next month from top officials of the FBI, CIA, Defense Department, National Security Agency, and perhaps President Bush and former President Clinton. The headline, 9/11 chair, attack was preventable. That, you know, and it's, I mean, Condoleezza Rice said, who could have thought, in May of 2002, and now we know as a result of lawsuits, that on August 6th of 2001, a month before 9/11, George Bush received a daily briefing which said that al-Qaeda was planning on hijacking aircraft in the United States and using them as weapons against major targets on the East Coast. There were other reports that implied those targets might be in New York City and might be government buildings in Washington, D.C. And what did George Bush do? Well, clearly he met with his cabinet and discussed it because immediately, John Ashcroft stopped flying on commercial airplanes. Matter of public record. And George Bush then proceeded, to the surprise of many people in Washington, D.C., to take a month-long vacation, the longest vacation in the history of the American presidency, and this is in the middle of his first year in office, his first full year in office. Now, arguably his second year. But no, it was his first year. It was 2001. And so he's hiding out down in Texas, having heard that al-Qaeda is going to attack Washington and New York with hijacked airplanes. He told Ashcroft, so Ashcroft got out of the way of the airplanes, but he didn't bother to tell the airplane companies, the airlines. He didn't bother to tell the American people. It's going to be very interesting to see how this spins with the American people and how the administration tries to spin this. In any case, welcome to our program today. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network, broadcasting live coast to coast, border to border. I was just on Irish radio about an hour and a half ago. They wanted to talk about Liberal talk radio, isn't this an interesting thing? How come America only has right? This guy, there's only one talk radio station in Ireland, and this guy does a show on it, and he said he'd come over to America, and everywhere he went, all he could hear was right-wing talk radio, and he wanted to know why. He said every other country in the world, I mean, you have both sides being presented. He said, I don't understand what happened in America. And so we talked about that. It was an interesting conversation. Anyhow, Jim in Chicago has some questions about George Bush and 9/11. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number, 1-800-825-5937. And Jim, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Well, good morning, Tom. One of the things that has bothered me greatly since 9/11, you know, when the Challenger went down, I don't remember the fellow's name, but within just a few hours, he was calling for an investigation to get to the bottom of this.
Yeah.
George Bush sitting in a grammar school in Florida and didn't even move when somebody told him that this all happened. And yet,
well, Jim, do you remember his first question when his aide came up? I think it was Andy Card came up and told him. His question was, "Is it the terrorists?" And the answer from Card was, "We're not sure." And so he went back to reading the book.
Whole thing doesn't pass the
test. It was on TV.
And it, you know, I'm wondering why it is that he had to be forced to start an investigation. That just doesn't make sense to me. It just makes no sense. And
well,
I mean,
because it's going to be politically embarrassing to him.
Well, sure.
We're seeing that right now.
I appreciate your show, and thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you, Jim. Yeah, I mean, you know, that's the bottom line, is there are a lot of things that this administration doesn't want to come out. They don't want you to know about Dick Cheney and his energy plan. They don't want you to know about how the energy bill got written. They don't want you to know about the intelligence about 9/11. They don't want, you know, it goes on and on and on. We've done that show before. Tony Blair yesterday made the comment in an interview with BBC. He said, the Iraq Survey Group, this is you know, what's his name, the former CIA agent who used to work with Scott Ritter, who is now the darling of Fox News, who is now the inspector over there in Iraq. It says, the Iraq Survey Group has already found massive evidence of a huge system of clandestine laboratories, workings by scientists, plans to develop long-range ballistic missiles. Now, frankly, these things weren't being developed unless they were developed for a purpose. But they weren't, you know, see, it's double talk, because, of course, they weren't actually developed. And the key to the whole sentence is the word plans. So now, you know, Blair is saying, essentially, if we find plans for something in Iraq, or if we find plans in empty laboratories, that means that our invasion was justified. I guarantee you, if you want evil dictators, go to China. You want people who throw people out of windows? When I was in India, hanging out with people from Tibet at the Dalai Lama's place, I heard the most god-awful, horrific stories of things that were done to their families when their loyalty was suspected. Things that would, you know, well, you're going to see the same kind of stuff. When, just before the elections in November, this administration starts trotting out the videotapes of people being tortured in Saddam's torture chambers, people being tortured in ungodly, unspeakable, horrific ways. No, that is happening all over the world right now. And I have no objection to our saying, okay, let's have a plan to bring democracy to the world. Frankly, I don't think that doing it with bombs is the most effective way. But if that's our plan, let's be honest about it. And let's actually start with the worst of the world's dictators. But anyhow, Hans Blix, as soon as Tony Blair says this, Hans Blix goes on TV and says, nope, sorry. Dr. Blix said the Iraq, this is from the BBC, said the Iraq survey group led by David Kay had failed to produce any concrete evidence that the laboratories they had found were working on any kind of weapons of mass destruction. Speaking in Sweden at the launch of a new independent commission on weapons of mass destruction, Dr. Blix said it was increasingly clear that Saddam had not had any weapons of mass destruction when he was outed by U.S. and British forces. There are simply no weapons of mass destruction left, he said. What's interesting is what Tony Blair's political opponents are saying. I'll tell you about that on the other side of this break. This is Tom Hartman in the Truth Zone. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Mom, I think it's time we had the talk.
Oh, dear. We did that years ago. Remember I used the fruit basket?
Mom, remember when I introduced you to pedicures and power shopping?
That was dope.
Dope, Mom.
Oh, yeah.
Now you're going to learn how to feel like a goddess.
Let me get the fruit basket.
Mom, listen. For the holidays, I'm getting you a Venus razor. You get the closest shave and silky smooth skin.
That sounds ripe.
Fresh, Mom.
Let the women in your life in on the secret of the Venus razor. Venus from Gillette. Reveal the goddess in you.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and four pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped five sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol is lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now, 1-800-865-8449.
The Founding Fathers thought they'd stop corporations from ever overthrowing elected government. Little did they know that 200 years later, democracy would be stolen and twisted in the name of so-called conservative values. Hi, this is Tom Hartman. The founders of America fought the Revolutionary War against the excessive corporate power of the East India Company, and presidents from Jefferson to Eisenhower warned us that extremely big businesses could destroy democracy. You'll find this extraordinary American story in my book, Unequal Protection: The Rise of Corporate Dominance and the Theft of Human Rights. It starts with the Boston Tea Party and ends with the rampant corruption of the Bush administration. It tells the dramatic story of how corporations hijacked the Bill of Rights, setting the stage for the CEO takeover of America. And it shows how we can take America back and tells the stories of Americans from Pennsylvania to California who are doing just that right now.
Unequal Protection is available in bookstores nationwide. And you can read several chapters online at unequalprotection.com. That's Unequal Protection by Tom Hartman.
Welcome back to the It's Not Your Fault You Didn't Know show. We're talking about the best way to spend your weekends, and we have two special guests right now. On the phone is the Terminator himself, Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good, Arnold. And our other guest in studio is George W. How are you today, Mr. Bush?
What's the matter?
Okay, all of our listeners want to know what you do on your weekends. Well, I'm here to tell you that you can listen to the best of left-of-center political talk radio on Sundays now on IE America Radio Network.
That's amazing.
George, your final words.
Stop it!
Thanks for joining us. Tune in tomorrow, same time. Have a nice day.
Just shut up!
The best of progressive talk radio can be heard on Sundays now on IE America Radio Network. For more information, call 1-800-397-8255 or go to ieamericaradio.com.
Hasta la vista, baby.
You know, Jamie, if people don't listen to animal talk, things with their animals won't go well.
Oh, they won't.
No, absolutely not. You see, because a dog will poop in the corner, and then a cat will end up peeing on a pillow. Then you'll have somebody who has an iguana that turns a little red. We don't want red iguanas. We don't want poopy in the corner. We don't want cat pee. If you don't listen to animal talk, you'll have crap everywhere.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Kathy, I'm lost, I say, though I knew she was sleeping. I'm empty and aching, and I don't know why. Counting the cars on the new Jersey Turnpike, they've all come to look for America.
Help
helping you win the water cooler wars with Uncommon Sense from the Radical Middle. This is Tom Hartman. You know, it's interesting, just to show that there is a partisan aspect to this this debate, this argument, as if anybody thought there wouldn't be. In England, in the United Kingdom, the Tory shadow foreign secretary, this is, you know, they have their foreign secretary, their secretary of state, who is a representative of the party in power, which right now is Labour, sort of like our Democrats. And then the party that's not in power has its own, what they call a shadow foreign secretary, Michael Ancrum. And he's with the Conservatives, the Tories. And he, now, see, he would be the Republicans, right? And he has accused Mr. Blair of exaggerating the conclusion reached by David Kaye, which never used the word massive. Once again, says the conservative, Michael Ancrum, once again, it is the Prime Minister using language and playing fast and loose with language on a matter that is very important, and he must be very careful with what he says, he told BBC Radio 4's Today program. So, 1-800-TALK, yes, Spackler in Milwaukee has some thoughts for us today. Hey, Spackler, welcome to the program.
How you doing, Tom?
I'm alive and kicking. It's great. Still snowing here in Vermont. It's getting a little spooky. We're up to about 3 feet. It's covering the doors. It's up to the bottom of the window
here.
Outside my office.
On and off here. It keeps melting, though.
Yeah. What's up?
Your point, especially mainly about the Condoleezza Rice saying that, you know, this was some sort of the 9/11 actions were some sort of wild and crazy idea that no one ever heard of before. I'm just a regular guy here in Milwaukee, and I can give you at least three sources, and they're just out there and available. It's not like it's a secret thing you have to dig for. It was on CNN in June of 2001 on a show called Seeds of Terror. If you remember, they talk about the Bojinka plot, is what they called it.
And this was before 9/11.
They found that in 1995. That was 1995, yeah. According to that show. And your source there says it was 1991, so sometime well before 2001. There's a book called The Cell, Inside the 9/11 Plot. It kind of covers a lot of that John O'Neill, if you've heard of that gentleman. Mm-hmm. They call him the man who knew. There's a book, Holy War.
He ended up director of security at the World Trade Center and died in the World Trade Center
because
before that he had left his previous job because they were refusing to do anything about the threat of terrorist hijackings.
Right, he was in charge of the FBI investigation in Yemen, where the ambassador in Yemen kicked him out, basically.
Yeah.
And then there's the Holy War Inc. by Peter Bergen. I mean, it's in all these places. I mean, it's not like you can't find it if you know. I mean, that's a ridiculous statement.
See, what this illustrates, Spackler, is the incredible arrogance of this administration, the absolute assumption that they have that the American people won't figure things out, the absolute assumption that people are, that the average American is just dumb.
Right.
And it's extraordinary. In fact, I want to get into that in more detail, because what I'm seeing right now coming out of the right is a very clear and concerted effort of psychological warfare against working class or middle class, let's say blue collar, but I would say even white collar, males in particular across America, middle class and working class and the working poor, a form of psychological operations that's like nothing we've ever seen before. I want to lay this out for you. Spackler, thanks for the call. I appreciate
Thank you.
And get into the details on this thing, because I think this is fascinating what these guys are doing. It's being orchestrated from the level of the president down to the level of the right-wing talk machine. And there's a consistency to it that is, well, it's just extraordinary. I'll tell you all about it when we come right back. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Talk radio for the rest of us. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
We'll be right back. Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, and just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
Season's greetings. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show, wishing all of you a very happy holiday season and a peaceful new year.
The world is running up an ecological debt that might be impossible to repay. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. Scientists estimate that humans are using 20% more of the world's resources than it can regenerate. Mathis Wackernagel heads a group called the Ecological Footprint Network in Oakland, California. He compares our standing with nature to a financial debt.
We can use more ecological goods and services than are being regenerated in a similar way as we can use more money than we earn, which is going to debt. In the same way, nature has some endowment that we can draw down or we can maintain. Now it seems that we're using it faster than it's being regenerated. So we can do that for some time, like we can go into debt for some time financially, but it's not a long-term strategy that is viable.
Wackernagel says it's important to think of natural resources the same way you think about money.
We see the consequences of running an economic deficit for a nation. We know what the consequences will be in the future. The same thing applies to ecological resources, too. By withdrawing them, leaving in debt for future generations, somebody will have to pay for it.
Wackernagel says the purpose of measuring our natural debits and credits is to maintain a quality of life that can be sustained over the long run.
The goal is to make sure all people can live well, recognizing there's a limited budget, like with our financial budget. It would be easier to have two planets, perhaps, but we only have one, so we have to find out how can we live best within the budget that is available to us.
Wackernagel says we're overdrawing that budget, and we need to get back in balance with nature's accounts. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
Do you dig your dog, but your dog digs your rose bushes?
Does Holden Head have your Oscar?
Is your cat doing a Tarzan swing from your drapes?
Is your python pooped?
Do you hate your folks because they spent your college tuition on a European vacation?
Jamie, what does that have to do with animals?
I don't know. I kind of ran out of stuff.
Now, come on,
there.
This is a commercial for a major radio network.
Wish
we should do better.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Greetings, everybody. This is Ramsey Pollard, Jr., the host of IE America's Sunday afternoon travel show, Ramblin' with Ramsey, on air 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Almost every Sunday, I travel to some location to offer you the opportunity of not only receiving wonderful printed material about the location, but to win a prize, maybe a couple of nights in a hotel or a resort or T-shirts or fudge. Oh, yes, there's always a lot of fudge. Come on, tune us in on your radio or go to IEAmericaRadio.com. I'll be there.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Almost 2 years come and gone. They never solved that crime till they found one of our vagabonds already doing time. When that jailbird started singing, they all knew the words were wrong. But the sheriff and the DA and the judge all sang along. They pinned it on Jack Favor. Gave him life without parole. Gave Jack's freedom to the jailbird, paying on the lies he told. Just so happens that election year, everybody made out at the polls.
And welcome back to the nation's largest nationally syndicated progressive daytime talk show, brought to you by Small Dog Electronics, 1-800-511-MAX, 1-800-511-MACS, and on the internet at smalldog.com. Everything Macintosh, and an extraordinary job of it they do.
I recommend you get in touch with them. 1-800-TALK-YES, their number, Leland in Santa Fe wants to kind of close out this 9/11 thing, and then I want to get into this psychological warfare operation. Hey, Leland, what's up?
Hey, Tom, I just saw a new document in the last 2 days describing how Donald Rumsfeld changed the procedures for scrambling aircraft in the event of a national hijacking. Have you seen that document?
I have not.
Apparently, in June 2001, he changed the procedures that require Secretary of Defense approval before any action can be taken when a hijacking is in place. And then, conveniently, somehow, he wasn't even aware or made aware that there was a hijacking in place until the third airplane hit the Pentagon. I don't know how...
So this is why it took so long? This is why there was such a huge delay, was because he had said, you know, you can't scramble an airplane without talking to me first, and they never talked to him?
Well, yeah, but the thing is, how could they not talk to him? I mean, it doesn't make any sense. It's the Secretary
of Defense. Well, see, these are the questions that the 9/11 Commission was put into place to find out. Is, you know, why was it that it took, you know, an hour or more for there to be any response to this thing? Why is it that we weren't prepared for it? Why is it that the airline security wasn't at least notified when the president was notified on August 6th that this attack was imminent?
Right.
That you know, it had gone from the vague thing in the 90s of, you know, they'd like to do it to hey, we have intelligence that they are about to strike. I mean, you know, sufficiently strong that John Ashcroft was afraid to get on a commercial airplane.
Right.
And, you know, these are good questions, and they need to be answered, and it'll be interesting to see what comes out of this commission.
I just have one more note for your listeners and for yourself. Oral arguments in the case of Ellen Mariani versus Bush et al. Alleging complicity in 911 proceeds to oral arguments. January 14th at 9 a.m. in Federal District Court in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
Yeah, and that's going to be the one that's going to be interesting to watch. That's the RICO case, right?
There's a whole big group of veterans behind that. All the veterans that got sick from Gulf War illness and understand that the government is willing to stab our people in the back, they're all behind that case. So it's a very serious case with a lot of...
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. The bottom line for this case is they're charging the Bush administration under the Racketeering and Influence and Corrupt Organizations Act, the RICO Act, and suggesting that the Bush administration has operated as if it was a crime organization. This is the law that is used against the mafia. It requires certification of the case, though, or whatever the fancy legal phrase is for it, which has not occurred yet. That's going to happen in January, right?
14th, oral arguments regarding the defense's motion to dismiss, and they have no grounds, but we'll see what happens because it's the judge is appointed by George H.W. Bush, so we'll see.
Yeah, and if it doesn't get dismissed, that's another one of these cases that has the potential.
If it goes to discovery, it's going to be huge.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be mind-boggling. And this is, you know, compare this with Bill Clinton having sex with Monica Lewinsky. I mean, Bush lied and nobody died. I'm sorry. Clinton lied, nobody died. Bush lied, and tens of thousands of people have died. And this is unacceptable. Thanks, Leland, for the call. So here's the psychological warfare. This against the, well, you know, what some folks are calling NASCAR dads. I mean, the Republicans came up with this phrase, and George Bush immediately invited the NASCAR folks up to the White House. Remember that great big photo op there? And then, of course, as soon as that happened, then the right wing started disavowing the phrase NASCAR dads and saying, oh, no, it was Democrats who came up with the phrase. Anyhow, the psychological. Let's talk about how this is being approached. I think this is fascinating. There was an interview on BuzzFlash that got me started on this. But it actually, what got me thinking about it first was earlier in the week. Another right wing talk show host, one who actually goes up against me the exact same time that I'm on the air. Created a minor furor among his own listeners this week by playing an advertisement for the Hillary Clinton testicle lockbox and basically suggesting that what Hillary did when she was interviewed by men on television was she put their testicles in this lockbox and didn't let them out until after they were done. And just this whole, you know, implying that she is an emasculator. She is a castrator. And what is going on with that? And what's the relationship between that and George Bush's destruction of the working class, Bush's war in Iraq, and Bush's popularity among blue-collar white males? They seem like completely separate things. And the sociologist, fascinating interview on BuzzFlash, you know, really laid it out well. UC Berkeley sociologist Arlie Hochschild, and she said, basically, I don't want to quote her because, you know, she should be saying her own words, but here's my take on this. You've got the way that, well, let's start. The starting premise here is that in our society, the way that one defines one's identity is by one's work. When you ask somebody, you meet somebody at a party, or you meet somebody, you know, somebody introduces you to somebody or whatever, and you say, hey, my name's Joe Blow, and you say, what do you do? Or who are you? You ask that question to somebody. Ask somebody, who are you? And other than diehard listeners to Dr. Laura's show, they're not going to say, I am my daughter's father, or I am my son's dad. They're going to say, well, I'm an author. I'm a talk show host. I'm a, you know, machine operator. I'm a taxi driver. I'm a, you know, fill in the blank. I work at Taco Bell. They're going to tell you what they do for a living. Because in our society, we define our identity by our work. And this is why you see these incredibly high rates of suicide among the unemployed, particularly the middle class unemployed in America. Because there's this sense of a loss of identity. I'm not me anymore. And so, you know, what good is there to go on living if I'm not me anymore? I've lost my identity. So the identity of self is tied up with the identity of being male. See, the question is, why is it that 49% of blue-collar male, white males in America said in a survey back in January that they would vote for George Bush in 2004, pretty much no matter what? Why is it that 49% said that they would vote for George Bush when George Bush's policies have led to the exporting of jobs, a war on unions, I mean, creating job insecurity, making their jobs less secure, reducing their pay? He's proposed legislation to eliminate overtime. They have, you know, for the middle class and the working poor, those people earning, say, less than an entire family, less than $60,000, $70,000 a year, and certainly less than $30,000 or $40,000 a year, those people's schools are the most vulnerable under No Child Left Behind, because what No Child Left Behind does is it penalizes schools that are underperforming by cutting their funding, and gives those funds to schools that are highly performing. So what you're seeing happen under No Child Left Behind is that the upper middle class and the upper class public schools, those few people who of the, you know, more than $1 million a year income who actually send their children to public school, that the public schools in the upper class white areas, by and large, although I'm sure this applies to various minority areas as well, but the schools in the upper class areas are doing well, and they're scoring well, and they're getting, and so under No Child Left Behind, they're getting more and more money. Those schools in working class areas, where people have lower incomes, are getting penalized, and they're having their funds cut. So you've got this, you know, this is what Howard Dean had identified. He did it very clumsily. He said that he wanted to appeal to white guys in the South driving pickup trucks with Confederate flags on their bumper stickers, as bumper stickers. And it's a constituency. I mean, there's a lot of different constituencies that we can parse out, but this one in particular is fascinating because it's a constituency that has consistently supported Bush, and yet is the group of Americans who are most aggressively harmed by the behaviors of the Bush administration. Their schools are being damaged. Their jobs are at risk. It takes two earners today to raise a family in the style of one earner in the 1960s. Their jobs are less secure. This administration has supported changes in the bankruptcy laws that make it harder for them to get out underneath debt if they get buried by medical expenses. That, you know, their so-called tort reform that make it harder for them to sue companies that harm them. They've gutted the Occupational Safety and Health Administration so that jobs are more dangerous and it's harder to get any kind of compensation if you get injured. They're sending the children of the working poor and the middle class off to war to die. You don't see the children of wealthy people in the army. These folks are suffering higher rates of cancer and other diseases. Their air is dirtier. Their water has more arsenic. The administration wants it to be more mercury in the air. Their public hospitals have been stolen by Bill Frist and his cronies. I mean, the list just goes on and on and on. Why do these guys vote for George Bush? And I think that what it has to do with is that there has been a psychological warfare operation put into place. I mean, these guys are very sophisticated about this stuff. When George Bush Sr. started using NLP in his TV ads, I remember back in when that happened in whichever year it was, that election, 88 comes to mind, watching that ad and watching the difference in what are called submodalities, using black and white and going to color, back and forth and back and forth, using different music and anchoring different states. And I remember watching that and thinking, these guys really know what they're doing. I mean, you got the money, you get the very best people. And what happens is when people lose their jobs or when their jobs become less secure, they get insecure. So you've got the NASCAR dads out there, the working class, you know, blue collar by and large white males. Of course, it's not limited to that, but that group in particular, feeling less and less secure, more and more likely they're going to end up working at Walmart, terrified, not having any benefits. And so they feel like their very sense of identity of self, their masculinity, is at stake. So all of a sudden you find, you know, Limbaugh talking about how Hillary has this testicle lockbox. And there's this whole, you know, see, the right-wing talk radio can do what the politicians don't do. The politicians do the wink and nod stuff, like all the white men signing the partial birth abortion bill, no women. No people of color. And so, you know, the politicians can do it kind of with a wink and a nod, but then the right-wing talk show hosts, they can just, you know, lay it out. And what they're trying to say to these guys is that if you feel emasculated, if you feel that your identity, your masculinity has been harmed, and most of them feel that way because they're feeling insecure about their jobs, about their futures, about their ability to raise a family, to do that thing that guys do, right? Be the breadwinner in our society. I know it's a sexist model, but that's our society. That these guys are feeling it. So now they're coming along and saying, and you know who's causing you to feel that way? It's Hillary Clinton and those liberal Democrats. That's who's causing you to feel that way. This is a very sophisticated psychological operation. It's very sophisticated. When I heard the testicle lockbox ad, I just, you know, I was like, oh my God, this is it. They are actually going to lay this thing down. They're actually going to reach out to these people and say, all the terror that you feel, that the Bush administration has caused you to feel, is there because of, and then you point to the evil women. I mean, you know, you have a long history, hierarchical male, particularly religions, pointing to women as the cause. What's the relationship between Bush's destruction of the working class, Bush's war in Iraq, Bush's popularity among blue-collar white males, and the right-wing mantra of Hillary being an emasculator? Here it is. This is the nexus of that. It is a psychological warfare operation being run by the conservatives. 1-800-TALK-YES, our number, 1-800-825-5937. And Margaret in New Mexico has a comment about the rule of law. Hey, Margaret, welcome to the program.
Hi, Tom. You know, I've been listening to you, and I get so angry, and I just got through reading the paper about two things. One was about the trucks coming into the United States from Mexico where they want to pass the law. So far, environmentalists and others have stopped it. But they're saying that the decision will be made somewhere in July. And then the other thing I read was about Cheney and the Energy Department and the rules that they were making secretly, and they don't want to release the papers. Mm. And that Solicitor General Theodore Olson is handling Cheney's. And we're talking about the rule of law. And we're supposed to be run by the rule of law in a democracy, but who's making the rules? They're changing the rules. When they want to make it the way they want it with the members in Congress and the president and the administration, they're making the law and telling us to abide by it. And
yeah.
What you're saying is absolutely true about the middle class and the sociologist who we're talking about. It's getting me so angry because I remember when I was a small kid and we were going to the Capitol, it used to be that the lobbyists had to stand downstairs by the railroad cars going to the Capitol in the Senate building.
And now it's not.
Huh?
Now they're running the show. Margaret, I'm sorry, we're up against the commercial break here. I have no control over those. Thanks for the call, though, and for your comments. This is Tom Hartman. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Mom, I think it's time we had the talk.
Oh, dear, we did that years ago. Remember I used the fruit basket?
Mom, remember when I introduced you to pedicures and power shopping?
That was dope.
Dope, Mom.
Oh, yeah.
Now you're going to learn how to feel like a goddess.
Let me get the fruit basket.
Mom, listen, for the holidays, I'm getting you a Venus razor. You get the closest shave and silky smooth skin.
That sounds ripe.
Fresh, Mom.
Let the women in your life in on the secret of the Venus razor. Venus from Gillette. Reveal the goddess in you.
Quick question. Ever had a cold that only lasted 4 hours? Anybody? Then why take a 4-hour cold medicine? Instead, take a Leave Cold and Sinus. One pill has the strength to give you 12 hours of relief. No stuffy nose, no throbbing head, all day. So what's it going to be? 12 hours of relief or symptoms that interrupt your day? Do I really need to ask?
Try non-drowsy Aleve Cold and Sinus. One pill, 12 hours of relief. Use as directed.
Excuse me. Pardon me.
Slow down, Kyle. You'll choke on your coffee.
Can't. I have to finish getting the newsletter out before I can do anything else on my schedule today.
I used to have that problem before I discovered the Newsletter Factory.
Well, how'd they help you?
Their expert team of writers, editors, designers, and project coordinators do all my hard work for me. The Newsletter Factory even developed a readership survey that helped me produce the most appropriate content.
Sounds great, but I like doing some of the writing. It's just technical stories and layouts that bog me down.
No problem. In addition to turnkey projects, the Newsletter Factory gives you a smorgasbord of services from design and proofread to edit or full write. The Newsletter Factory can also help with printing and mailing. They keep you informed the whole way. Plus, the process is cost-effective and streamlined, so the Newsletter Factory doesn't have to compensate for lost time or mistakes.
Just like a factory.
Now you're catching on. Call the Newsletter Factory at 800-788-9550 to get started today. Or visit them on the web at www.newsletterfactory.com.
I will, thanks.
I guess I better let the dog in.
Like the small dog that rules the house, Small Dog Electronics is the small computer company that really rules when it comes to customer service. Small Dog Electronics is your authorized Apple reseller in Waitsfield, Vermont. Sure, you can buy your computer out of a catalog, but how do you know you're really getting what you want or what you need? At Small Dog, they don't work on commission. Their only motivation is making sure you're a happy customer. Put your business on the leading edge with the world's fastest computer, the new Macintosh G5. You'll finish the job ahead of the pack, and automatic security updates lock out viruses. That's speed and dependability that will keep you focused on your customers instead of sitting on hold with tech support.
I guess you want to get on the couch, huh?
Like the small dog who everybody makes room for, Small Dog Electronics is big on customer service. Small Dog Electronics. Check them out on the web at smalldog.com or at their showroom on Route 100 in Waitsfield.
No way. You're not getting on the bed.
This is Mike Malloy with the IE America Radio Network. Want to know more about our talk shows and personalities but don't know where to look? Do you want to find out what guests are scheduled or what topics we'll be discussing on our programs? Would you like to participate in live chat or vote in interactive polls? All this and more is available at the IE America Radio website. Bookmark it, stop surfing, and get active. Visit www.ieamericaradio.com today.
The following program is recommended for mature individuals and may contain material unsuitable for morons, cretins, and dishwipes.
Hey, I wanted to say dick dick.
Okay, give me your anaconda. I'll give you my dick dick.
Deal!
Anaconda! Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
All right, boys, come on.
The
Mike Molloy Show.
According to the GAO report, many items needed to establish a laboratory for making biological warfare agents were being sold on the internet to the public from the Department of Defense's excess property inventory for pennies on the dollar. So the next time the Bush crime family says, well, it's time to invade, oh, let me close my eyes, spin me around, okay, let me point, ah, Syria, because they have weapons of mass destruction. Ah, this is so much fun. Spin me around again. Iran! Oh, I love this game. Uncle Dick, can I play this game somewhere? The next time we do that, is it not incumbent upon us to ask where they got the equipment that they used to make weapons of mass destruction?
Fast Tag says $27 billion. It's yours for $1.29.
The Mike Molloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
I look out at the winter sky, it's gray and overcast. Another year has flown right by, these days they go so fast. I look down at your tiny face, and I see things your way. You don't mind that it's too cold to go outside and play. It might snow on Christmas Day, and through your eyes.
And welcome back. Welcome to the Real Free Speech Zone on the IE America Radio Network. This is Tom Hartman. Our quote from Franklin Roosevelt for the day, let us never forget that government is ourselves and not an alien power over us. The ultimate rulers of our democracy are not a president and senators and congressmen and government officials, but the voters of this country. Somebody sent me the following interesting little story. Dick Cheney walks into the Oval Office and sees the president whooping and hollering. What's the matter, Mr. President? The vice president inquired. Nothing at all, boss. I just done finished a jigsaw puzzle in record time, the president beamed. How long did it take you, says Cheney. Well, Bush says, the box said 3 to 5 years, but I did it in a month. Yes. How do we deal with psychological warfare? The way to deal with it is by outing it. Is by exposing it, and that's what Howard Dean was talking about. The being just absolutely blunt and plain spoken. These guys on the right are trying to convert the middle class insecurity in America, which is the result of conservative economic policies, into rage at somebody else who had nothing to do with it. Consider, for example. I mean, this is, talking about jobs. Remember this? Where'd it go? Here we go. Oh, I've got it at the end. Sorry. Here we go. Remember this.
With a robust package of at least $550 billion and across-the-board tax relief, we will help create more than 1 million new jobs.
Well, not quite. But the $550 billion, we have created... we've created 271,000 jobs, which means we've spent $2,029,000 per job created in tax breaks for the rich. What a deal, huh? This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Talk radio for the rest of us.
Been listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2003.
First appearance of Superman in Action Comics number 1, $400,000. First appearance of Batman in Detective Comics number 27, $350,000. First appearance of Spider-Man in Amazing Fantasy 15, $50,000. Listening to that comic book show and envisioning two fat guys in tights, priceless.
Listen to that comic book show Sundays from 9 p.m. to 10 Eastern on the IE America Radio Network.
About the Mike Malloy program. You know, the reason I turned this man off.
Why?
Is because he sounds like an 8-year-old.
Me?
Name calling.
I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not.
You should get somebody who at least has some intelligence.
No, don't fire me. No. I got kids in college.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time, on IE America Radio Network.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. For the first time, the chairman of the independent commission investigating the September 11th attacks is saying publicly that 9/11 could have and should have been prevented, reports CBS News. This is a very, very important part of history, and we've got to tell it right, said Thomas Kane. As you read the report, you're going to have a pretty clear idea what wasn't done and what should have been done, he said. This was not something that had to happen. Kane promises major revelations in public testimony beginning next month from top officials in the FBI, CIA, Defense Department, National Security Agency, and maybe President Bush and former President Clinton. Guerrillas ambushed a U.S. military patrol with small arms fire, killing one soldier, the military said Thursday, and suspected Saddam Hussein loyalists killed a representative of a major Shiite political party. The U.S. soldier was killed Wednesday night when the 1st Armored Division patrol came under fire in Al-Karma in northwest Baghdad, the military said. Another American was injured, as was an Iraqi interpreter. In Baghdad, suspected followers of Saddam shot to death Muhammad al-Hakim, a representative of a major Shiite party and a member of a prominent political family. The State Department issued a warning Wednesday recommending that non-essential American diplomats and the families of all U.S. officials in Saudi Arabia leave the country. The department also recommended that private U.S. citizens consider leaving as well. Americans making plans to go to Saudi Arabia were advised to defer any such travel in light of the potential for further terrorist activities. Security was tight Thursday in the Saudi capital of Riyadh, with a heavy police presence throughout much of the city. Television commercials criticizing Democratic presidential frontrunner Howard Dean, including one featuring Osama bin Laden, will come off the air in three early voting states by the end of the week. A group with ties to Dean rival Dick Gephardt is ending the ad runs in Iowa, New Hampshire, and South Carolina to comply with a federal ban on such ads by outside groups in the month before a primary contest. More after this.
Hello, I'm Rita Moreno. You may have a serious eye condition and not even know it. Vision loss is not a normal part of aging. Some vision changes are normal. Some are due to eye disease. Do you know the difference? Open your eyes to the facts. To get more information about vision and aging or to find out about what help is available if you're having vision problems, call Lighthouse International at 1-800-829-0500 or visit www.lighthouse.org.
A steer that fled a Detroit slaughterhouse 2 weeks ago will get the chance to live out his days on a Michigan farm. After negotiations, the slaughterhouse's owner and representatives of an animal sanctuary reached the agreement Monday that will spare the steer's life. Under federal rules, the steer could have been legally slaughtered Wednesday. Instead, the slaughterhouse will donate the animal to the sanctuary. This is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Can I help you, sir?
I'm panicked. I'm dating. What should I get for the stocking stuffer? Is an oven mitt too personal?
Okay, listen. Get a gift that every woman loves. A Venus razor.
Every woman?
With just one stroke, I get silky smooth skin, which makes me feel like a goddess.
Oh, I love a silky smooth goddess.
Then a Venus razor will solve your gift-giving problem.
Ah, make it 9 Venus razors.
9?
I'm dating a lot.
Looking for the perfect stocking stuffer for all the women on your list? The Venus razor from Gillette. Reveal the goddess in you.
Old loopholes never die. They just get loopier and loopier. One such is a special tax break gouged into federal law back in 1980 by corporate lobbyists. In response to the energy crisis of the time, this loophole was ostensibly created to give companies an incentive to devise marketable alternatives to imported oil. But all it really has done is give companies an excuse to dodge paying the taxes they owe to Uncle Sam. The loophole is the Synfuels tax credit for companies that reprocess coal to create new synthetic fuels. But the law's provisions are so vague that corporations have been able to claim the tax break, even if their reprocessing doesn't work, doesn't reduce our dependence on oil, actually uses oil products in the so-called reprocessing, is never marketed, or is just plain silly. How silly? So silly that the IRS has given the Synfuels tax credit to companies that have done nothing but spray starch or diesel fuel or even Elmer's glue on coal. Corporations, ranging from utilities to the Marriott hotel chain, have leapt through this loophole like wolves leaping for a lamb chop. The result is that they have dodged about $2 billion a year in taxes they owe, a wad that the rest of us ordinary taxpayers have to make up, either in increased taxes or reduced services. This scam will soon grow to $10 billion a year, for more corporations have spied the lamb chop and are going for it. Finally, the IRS decided to crack down by reviewing whether the company's so-called Synfuels actually worked. Yet, even this long-overdue step was assailed by Synfuel profiteers, their lobbyists, and their puppets in Congress. They went after the IRS, threatening the agency's enforcement budget and hauling the IRS commissioner to the woodshed. Unsurprisingly, the IRS recently succumbed to the corporate pressure. This is Jim Hightower saying, so the loopiness keeps getting loopier, and the rich keep getting richer.
Yes, she is. Thank you in Mandarin Chinese.
Is it really, Nancy?
Bantila is like cool.
Chinese lesson now.
Wow, Nancy, you're so smart.
Bantila.
You know everything. I should have watched MSNBC.
You should have.
I want to be just like you. I figure all I need is a lobotomy and some tights.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
The man who uncovers corporate lies, exposes political corruption, and has a clear vision of what America could become. Here's Tom Hartman.
And welcome back, friends. It's Thursday afternoon, the second hour of our program. Here we are. This is Tom Hartman, live on the IE America Radio Network, broadcasting coast to coast, border to border on terrestrial radio stations, on stream 145 of the Sirius satellite radio system, streaming around the world on various web-based programs, radiopower.org, ieamericaradio.com, live365.com. You can find it all at tomhartman.com. Anyhow, it's the second hour of our program on Thursday, which is our Everything You Know Is Wrong segment.
You know that you're wrong, but you fear you're right.
You suspect you're out of sync.
You think that you're out of your mind.
Everything You Know Is Wrong.
Is Everything You Know Wrong? This is where we go beyond politics and explore something that, you know, most people don't know that much about. In this hour, I want to talk with Gary Glatzmeyer, professor of earth sciences at the University of California in Santa Cruz. Professor Glatzmeyer, thank you for joining us today, if you're there.
Yes, I'm here.
Yeah, great. And you are an expert on the Earth's magnetic poles, and our, you know, I mean, everybody kind of takes it as a given that the North Pole, you know, on a compass it's always going to point to the North Pole and all that sort of thing. But the poles have shifted in the past. First of all, tell us about that.
Well, the Earth's magnetic field is not constant in time. It doesn't change very fast during our lifetime, but on the timescales for the Earth, talking about millions of years or billions of years, it changes quite a bit. It's generated in the Earth's core, the liquid part of the Earth's core, where there's a lot of fluid motions, convection, and this process kinetic energy into magnetic energy, basically, and keeps maintaining the magnetic field of the Earth. The reason I say it's maintaining it is that the field is not a permanent magnet. Most of us are familiar with magnets on the surface of the Earth, and their temperature is quite low, and so that permanent magnetism is possible. But when the temperature gets very high, like it is in the center of the Earth, you don't have permanent magnetism. The magnetism will decay away naturally if you don't keep regenerating it.
So it's spinning. The spinning process is sort of like in a motor. I mean, you know, it's a. Now, what is this? Well, it's not like converting kinetic energy into magnetic. What does this mean to us? I mean, what's the significance of the possibility of a polar shift? There was a book I read a couple of years ago called Not by Fire but by Ice, as I recall it, that had talked about that had speculated during previous shifts of the Earth's magnetic pole that huge electrical storms happened on the surface of the Earth as a consequence of, you know, electricity and the interrelationship between electricity and magnetism. Is that something that's possible?
Well, I suppose it does happen. It's the Earth's magnetic field has undergone many magnetic dipole reversals. You know, in other words, right now, the magnetic field that extends to the surface of the Earth and beyond has a structure that looks pretty much like a dipole. In other words, there's a north magnetic pole and a south magnetic pole. Curiously enough, the north magnetic pole is at the south geographic pole of the Earth, and by definition, the south magnetic pole is at the north geographic position of the Earth now. The reason is that's just a definition, because you take a magnet and you say the north part of the north pole of the magnet points towards the north geographic pole, but north poles are attracted to south pole. So
right, it's opposites. Yeah,
just the opposite,
same thing.
Yeah.
It's just like Ben Franklin when he identified the positive and negative of electricity. The negative actually is the surplus of electrons, and the positive is the deficiency.
Yeah, that's very similar. Yeah. So it's just a matter of definition. But that configuration has reversed many times in the past. Now, the time between these reversals is long compared to our lifetime. It's on the order of what's typically measured in hundreds of thousands of years. It's not a constant time. It varies quite a bit. It can be as long as several millions of years between reversals, and sometimes as short as a few tens of thousands. So it's highly variable, but it's still a long time. And when the reversal starts and actually occurs, that time is typically on the order of a few thousand years. So we're talking long periods of time here compared to our lifetime.
Right.
The current interest in this has been that the magnetic field intensity at the surface of the Earth has been decreasing for the last couple hundred years. We've only been measuring it accurately for the last couple hundred years. And during that period of time, the intensity keeps decreasing. So people are saying, well, if it continues to decrease at the rate it's decreasing right now, it may lead to a reversal in the future. But they're talking about a couple thousand years from now. That would be the soonest it would reverse. And then it's not even clear that it would reverse then, because if you look in the paleo-intensity record, in other words, the remnant magnetic fields that have been captured in rocks or the ocean bottom over the last millions of years, you see that there are many reversals, and typically when you do have a reversal, that the intensity of the field decreases significantly. But it decreases a lot in between the reversals. In other words, whenever it's decreasing, it doesn't mean that it's going to reverse. Typically decreases for a few thousand years, and then starts increasing for a few thousand years, and then decreases again. It does this many, many times before it actually succeeds in undergoing a magnetic reversal.
Yeah. Now, for a long time, scientists thought that the transition from an ice age to a temperate time, or from a very, you know, a climate change, at least in the Northern Hemisphere and Northern Europe, was a gradual process that took hundreds to thousands of years. And just in the last two decades, they've concluded that transition occurs in as little as 2 to 3 years as a consequence of the thermohaline pump of the North Atlantic shutting down. Do you think it's possible that this speculation, that this, you know, the assumption that it takes thousands of years for a magnetic pole shift to happen is perhaps off, and that it might be something that happens as rapidly as that there may be a, that it may be a, you know, like a membrane, you know, like a light switch, you know, you move it and move it and move it, and then suddenly it goes, you know, you hit some sort of critical mass and it flips over?
Well, I suppose anything's possible. When I say it takes that long, that's based on how, in other words, magnetic reversals have been recorded in lava flows. In other words, as lava flows out of a mountain, it cools, and it can cool over thousands of years. And if you measure the magnetic field along the lava flow, you can see actually how the field reverses at that location. So it's
pretty solid.
I'd say it's pretty solid. It actually takes several thousands of years. I don't do the measuring. I do computer simulations of this, and the computer models that run take a large amount of computer time, and takes years to run. They've actually produced some spontaneous magnetic reversals, and that also take thousands of years, thousands of simulated years. In fact, one took 20,000 years, one took about 1,000 years. So they vary in time. But you know, anything's possible, I suppose.
Yeah. I understand. In South Africa, there are actually places where the magnetic reversal has already started to take place.
Well, I wouldn't say it's necessarily going to lead to a reversal. In Africa, the direction and the intensity of the magnetic field has been changing. It's probably changing there more rapidly than actually South Africa and also the South Atlantic. It's changing there fairly rapidly on the order of hundreds of years. What's happening in the South Atlantic is that in the southern hemisphere, most of the magnetic field is directed outwards, out of the surface of the Earth, and it's directed inwards in the northern hemisphere. But there's a location in the South Atlantic where the direction of the magnetic field is the opposite of what it is everywhere else in the southern hemisphere, and it's that is called a reverse flux patch. In other words, it's a local region where the polarity is different from where it is.
Right. Now the reason why this is of consequence to us is, as I understand it, is because the magnetic field of the Earth is one of the things that's holding intact it produces essentially an electromagnetic or a magnetic protective blanket that protects us from ionized particles coming from the sun and other. Other forms of radiation, is that not correct?
That's right. Basically, these particles, mostly electrons and protons coming from the sun and coming from other stars, but much of it's coming from the sun, are when they hit the magnetic field of the Earth, they tend to spiral around the magnetic field and follow the direction of the magnetic field, which now today actually leads either to the North Pole or the South Pole, depending what charge you're dealing with.
Right. Thus, we have the aurora borealis.
Exactly, it's all connected to that too. However, what's usually not stated is that the Earth's atmosphere, and aside from the magnetic field, the Earth's atmosphere itself protects us from many of these charged particles. Anyway, in fact, one person told me, I don't know this firsthand, but one person told me that if the magnetic field of the Earth would go away today, the increased amount of cosmic radiation would be something similar to one of us going to the top of a mountain having less atmosphere above us.
Yeah, so it wouldn't be like the end of the dinosaurs. So.
That's right. It's not going to be that catastrophic. It will, like you mentioned before, it probably will. A reversal will probably produce magnetic and electric disturbances on the Earth, induce large currents in transmission lines, for example.
Yeah.
What
this guy was speculating about was that granite. He said nobody could figure out where granite comes from, and he said he was suggesting that because it's sedimentary rock that's been treated by heat, but it's always near the surface. And he said, actually, what this is the result of previous reversals of the Earth's field causing these, you know, multi-zillion volt, multi-billion volt electrical discharges running through the Earth and boiling the surface of the rock.
No,
kind of far out, huh?
That's too far out. Yeah, I mean, okay. The energy's not like that.
Okay, so we're going to make it through.
You know, life has made it through so many in the past, although the last full reversal has been almost 800,000 years ago.
But, so we're due for one.
I'm
moving you along here, but we've only got about 30 seconds left.
Sure, go ahead.
I wanted to let you finish that sentence, and then I wanted to thank you for being on the program. Is there a website where people can find out more about this?
You can look at a website, at my website, for example. It's at www.es.ucsc.edu/GLATZ.
Okay, great. Dr. Gary Glatzmeyer, thank you very much for being with us today.
Okay.
I appreciate it. Professor of Earth Sciences at the University of California, Santa Cruz. This is Tom Hartman. Stay tuned.
Mom, I think it's time we had the talk.
Oh, dear. We did that years ago. Remember I used the fruit basket?
Mom, remember when I introduced you to pedicures and power shopping?
That was dope.
Dope, Mom.
Oh, yeah.
Now you're going to learn how to feel like a goddess.
Let me get the fruit basket.
Mom, listen, for the holidays, I'm getting you a Venus razor. You get the closest shave and silky smooth skin.
That sounds ripe.
Fresh, Mom.
Let the women in your life in on the secret of the Venus razor. Venus from Gillette. Reveal the goddess in you.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
The Founding Fathers thought they'd stop corporations from ever overthrowing elected government. Little did they know that 200 years later, democracy would be stolen and twisted in the name of so-called conservative values. Hi, this is Tom Hartman. The Founders of America fought the Revolutionary War against the excessive corporate power of the East India Company, and presidents from Jefferson to Eisenhower warned us that extremely big businesses could destroy democracy. You'll find this extraordinary American story in my book, Unequal Protection, The Rise of Corporate Dominance and the Theft of Human Rights. It starts with the Boston Tea Party and ends with the rampant corruption of the Bush administration. It tells the dramatic story of how corporations hijacked the Bill of Rights, setting the stage for the CEO takeover of America. And it shows how we can take America back and tells the stories of Americans from Pennsylvania to California who are doing just that right now.
Unequal Protection is available in bookstores nationwide. And you can read several chapters online at unequalprotection.com. That's Unequal Protection by Tom Hartman.
The Mike Mullen Show.
Now in Sacramento, there's Conan the Groper promising he's changed.
Half behave badly sometimes. Yes, it is true that I was on rowdy movie sets. And I have done things that were not right, which I thought then was playful. But now I recognize that I have offended people.
I thought I was being playful. Just because I grabbed their breast, I thought I was playful. Kathy's laughing at my Schwarzenegger. I'm sorry, I can't do it. All right, you do it.
I've groped and molested women in the past, but if you elect me, I promise I'll never do it again, because you know powerful politicians never abuse their power for sex.
Okay.
And that's how it's done.
Okay.
Hello, cutie pie. Your clothes, give them to me. Now. Come on.
The Mike Mullen Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time.
Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Sitting in the morning sun, I'll be sitting when the evening comes, watching the ships roll in, and then I'll watch them roll away again, yeah. I'm sitting on the dock of the bay, watching the tide roll away. Ooh, I'm just sitting on the dock of the bay, wasting time.
And welcome back. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. New studies shows that happiness fights the common cold. Beyond vitamin C, this article by Jamie Cohen on ABC News. He says, don't worry, be happy. And according to new research, you will also be healthy. The new research shows that all it may take to avoid the common cold is a positive and upbeat attitude. See, I told you that there's something good about, something positive about looking at the upside of things, looking at the positive. Yes, George Bush is doing it. And what is happening? He's waking up America. And, you know, we got this terrible war in Iraq. And the world is saying, hey, you know, this conservative worldview is pretty strange. We really just, you know, shouldn't put up with this anymore. These Luddites, when the brain is happy, it sends messages to our organs, says the article. This is, I believe I told you about this a few months ago. We were talking about one of the interesting things. I remember when this was first publicized, or at least I first learned about it. Maybe it had come out earlier than that, but there was a paper in one of the science magazines that I get a couple of years ago, and they found that the human immune system, that the macrophages, the white blood cells, and all these, the cytokines, all these little things that run around and eat up viruses and bacteria and whatnot, that they on their surface had receptor sites for serotonin, which is the neurotransmitter associated with feeling good. When you smile, you increase the levels of serotonin in your body. And here, again, you know, your chances of developing the common cold, pneumonia, or even cancer may well be decreased by keeping your brain in a healthy state, say these researchers. And, you know, sure enough. And what did William James say about that, the famous psychologist? He said, you know, people think, I'm paraphrasing here, I don't have his actual quote in front of me, but he said, people think that our physical state expresses our emotional state. In other words, if you're depressed, you walk around with your shoulders drooping and your face looking drawn. But he said, the reverse is also true. If you stand up straight, put your chest out, pull your shoulders back, put a smile on your face, and walk along with a, you know, humming a tune, what will happen is your state of mind will change, even if it was crummy to begin with. And according to this article, your ability to fight off the common cold will change, and certainly your ability to fight off Republicans will change. Preston from Denver's on the line. Welcome to the Tom Hartman Program, Preston.
Hi, Tom.
Hey.
Thanks for the program. I was looking at a check the other day, and it had a Nigerian proverb on it that said, the teeth are smiling, but is the heart. And
that's nice.
Yeah, I thought that was interesting. And I think of a lot of pictures that I see of Native people. They're often, you know, they kind of look kind of droopy and down, but I think in some instances that's okay. Obviously, there's a powerful mind-body connection, and I think when we watch television, a lot of what we're receiving is very negative and
sure.
is making us very unhealthy, kind of polluting the mental environment.
Yep.
And that's where I think groups like Adbusters and the work that they're doing to expose what's being done to us, what's being done mm-hmm. to our children, the way they're teaching us addictions, addictions to sex, addictions to consumption, addictions to power and violence and guns. We talk a lot about gun control in this country. I'm more worried about the gun promotion that we're constantly bombarded with, the endless police shows, the glorification yeah. of war in what's called the liberal Hollywood crowd, it's really a very reactionary Hollywood crowd, oftentimes producing movies like Rules of Engagement and Black Hawk Down, which treat Muslims very unfairly and tell the story of war in very dangerous ways.
Yep, got it. Preston, thanks for the call. Good point, and you know, well said. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Stay tuned. We'll be back in just a minute, exposing the con in conservative. We've got the Daily Mislead coming up right after this.
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, and just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
Hey, Truth Seekers, Mike Malloy here. I hope you have a happy and peaceful holiday season.
The world is running up an ecological debt that might be impossible to repay. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. Scientists estimate that humans are using 20% more of the world's resources than it can regenerate. Mathis Wackernagel heads a group called the Ecological Footprint Network in Oakland, California. He compares our standing with nature to a financial debt.
We can use more ecological goods and services that aren't being regenerated in a similar way as we can use more money than we earn, which is going to debt. In the same way, nature has some endowment that we can draw down or we can maintain. Now it seems that we're using it faster than it's being regenerated. So we can do that for some time, like we can go into debt for some time financially, but it's not a long-term strategy that is viable.
Wackernagel says it's important to think of natural resources the same way you think about money.
We see the consequences of running an economic deficit for a nation. We know what the consequences will be in the future. The same thing applies to ecological resources, too. By withdrawing them, leaving in debt for future generations, somebody will have to pay for it.
Wackernagel says the purpose of measuring our natural debits and credits is to maintain a quality of life that can be sustained over the long run.
The goal is to make sure all people can live well, recognizing there's a limited budget, like with our financial budget. It would be easier to have two planets, perhaps, but we only have one, so we have to find out how can we live best within the budget that is available to us.
Wackernagel says we're overdrawing that budget, and we need to get back in balance with nature's accounts. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
Fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. Some of you may be alarmed by subversive propaganda spread by that liberal media filter, Mike Malloy, who distorts the truth every weeknight at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Rest assured, our sources at Fox News confirm that we have a fabulous, booming economy and enjoy daily glorious victories in the numerous fronts of the ongoing terror wars. And besides, any problems we're experiencing are all Clinton's fault. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Man's forever.
Tom Hartman here on the IE America Radio Network. Moving toward a bright and sparkling future by returning democracy to the United States of America. Here's the Daily Misleader. You can find this at misleader.org. In fact, you can they'll email you one every day if you want. www.misleader.org. In an exclusive primetime interview, President Bush told ABC News that, quote, we're doing everything we can to protect the troops, and it's important for their loved ones to understand that, end quote. But according to recent reports, as many as 30,000 soldiers in Iraq are without body armor and are being forced to use Vietnam-era flak jackets that provide insufficient protection from shrapnel and bullets. Military families across the country are so concerned about the president's negligence that many have felt forced to raise the $1,400 personally to pay for their loved ones to have the armor. As a groundswell of concern grew over the last year, the president still refused to adequately fund body armor needs in his massive $87 billion No Lobbyists Left Behind war spending bill. I inserted that No Lobbyists Left Behind part. At a hearing of the Senate Armed Services Committee, Senator John Warner, a Republican of Virginia, told the administration that its body armor funding shortage was totally unacceptable. And while Congress ultimately filled the funding gap left by the president and his proposed budget, the president's delay and foot-dragging have caused a serious delay, as the U.S. Army reports the new armor will only start getting to Iraq by the end of this month. Ancient figurines. This is fascinating. A week ago today on this program, I interviewed myself about my new book, The Edison Gene, which talks about how 40,000 years ago in American history, in human history, the ADD, the ADHD gene, emerged into the human gene pool. And the scientists have nailed that down. 40,000 years ago, that's when ADD started. And I suggested in my book, The Edison Gene, that that's also when modern civilization began. And that modern civilization came about as the result of the ADD gene, the DRD4 gene and its other dopamine receptor variations that are associated with attention deficit disorder. And that this is really kind of the creativity gene, the curiosity gene, the energy, the high energy, the active gene. Well, in the current issue of National Geographic, on their website, nationalgeographic.com, I'm assuming this will be in the next magazine, or maybe it's the one that just shipped. I used to subscribe. I don't right now, so I don't know. But here's the one on the website. Ancient figurines found from first modern humans. And let me just read to you the last two paragraphs of the article, which are both one-sentence paragraphs. Archaeologists are exploring several lines of evidence that suggest something occurred in the course of human evolution around 40,000 years ago that allowed humans to cross the threshold towards cultural modernity. Quote, this is from Sinclair, this scientist that they've been quoting through this whole entire article, Anthony Sinclair, an archaeologist at the University of Liverpool in England. Sinclair says, quote, there does appear to be a quite different life before and after about 40,000 years ago. More evidence that I'm right. Fascinating stuff there. Ed, did you see the article in yesterday's Wall Street Journal? I'm sorry, New York Times. An excellent op-ed by Bruce Hoffman. The headline is "Saddam is Ours. Does Al Qaeda Care?" And he asked the question: is Iraq really the central battleground in the struggle? You know, because George Bush the other day says we still face terrorists. You know, after he said we'd have captured Saddam. Is Iraq really the central battleground in that struggle, or is it diverting our attention? While al-Qaeda and its confederates plan for new strikes elsewhere, there's strong evidence that Osama bin Laden is using Iraq the way a magician uses smoke and mirrors. He goes on to point out that al-Qaeda plans to redirect half the $3 million a month it now spends on operations in Afghanistan toward the insurgency in Iraq. And so that sort of looks like it's good news if you believe the flytrap theory. Now, the flytrap theory is one that Don Rumsfeld rolled out a little while ago, where he said, well, yeah, okay, there were no terrorists in Iraq before we got there. Al-Qaeda wasn't there. Al-Qaeda and Saddam hated each other because Saddam was a secularist and Al-Qaeda are religious. And there was that training camp that was associated with Al-Qaeda way up in the north near the border with Iran, but that was only there because Saddam couldn't get to it because it was in the northern no-fly zone. It was protected by the United States. And so basically there were no terrorists in Iraq, at least, you know, that were being supported by Saddam. And, well, other than that one camp up in the north, there were none. And now, Rumsfeld says, because we have taken Iraq, we have put 130,000 soldiers on the ground in the Middle East, and it's like flypaper. It's like saying, here we are, come and get us. Well, there's two problems with this, and he says this is a good thing because now we can engage the terrorists in their own backyard. Well, there's two problems with this. The first is, of course, do we really want to go around the world putting our soldiers in harm's way so that they can act as bait, you know, as Judas goats, to draw out the tiger of the terrorists? Is that really the most effective strategy for fighting terror? I really don't, you know, I mean, when Rumsfeld said this, all the retired generals just, you know, freaked. There was just this general, oh, you know, give me a break. But, you know, that's still one of the rationales that's used by the, certainly by the right-wing talk show hosts, and the administration doesn't talk about it so much anymore because it's patently absurd, but nonetheless, and it's insulting and disrespectful to our troops, you know, as if we didn't much care about their lives. But there's that theory, and the other dimension of the flypaper theory that Rumsfeld put forward is the assumption that Iraq or the terrorism is a zero-sum game. Now, a zero-sum game is a fancy way of saying that it's like everything is in a box and it doesn't get bigger or smaller. So if you grab everything, then there's nothing left. And if you take half of it, then the other person has half of it, and, you know, but if everything goes, then that's it. And the reality is that you know, and so the assumption would be if there's 3,000 terrorists in the, let's say there's 100,000 terrorists in the Middle East, and so we set up camp in Iraq, and 90,000 of them come into Iraq, and we fight with them and we kill them, and now there's only 10,000 terrorists left in the world. See, that's the logic of the flypaper trap theory that Rumsfeld put forward, that you know, is kind of the darling of the right wing right now, or of the neocons. But the reality is that by going into Iraq, we have provided al-Qaeda with this incredible recruiting tool. Al-Qaeda's stock is up all over the world, and our stock is down. I mean, that's just a simple reality. This president's policies have been a disaster for the United States and for the war on terror as it is. And so, anyhow, back to this editorial. He says, yes, al-Qaeda is perhaps sending people into Iraq, although we're not really seeing evidence of it. We're not capturing al-Qaeda people in Iraq. Although I get to, you know, in just a minute, something that he did to set, that al-Qaeda did, that Osama did to set us up. Well, here it is, in fact. But there's a better chance, Bruce Hoffman writes in yesterday's New York Times, there's a better chance that Osama bin Laden is the one setting a trap. He and his fellow jihadists didn't drive the Soviets out of Afghanistan by taking the fight to an organized enemy on a battlefield of its choosing. In fact, the idea that al-Qaeda wanted to make Iraq the central battlefield of jihad was first suggested by al-Qaeda itself last February. Like they were saying, hey guys, come on, let's try it. This was before we attacked. They did it in a series of articles titled In the Shadow of the Lances. These were little booklets, you know, kind of Thomas Paine kind of things, published in Arabic by al-Qaeda and distributed all over the Middle East and particularly in Iraq. And they gave practical advice to Iraqis and foreign jihadists on how to do guerrilla warfare in the event that the country was seized by American and British troops. So, if there are al-Qaeda warriors in Iraq, Hoffman says, they are likely cannon fodder rather than battle-hardened mujahideen. In the end, Qaeda's real... In other words, they may be sending some people in there. But it's not the people we have to worry about. Because they're just trying to distract us. They're trying to get us to focus on Iraq. If we focus on Iraq, that means they can do other stuff all over the world and we're not going to notice. As he says, in the end, al-Qaeda's real interest in Iraq has been to exploit the occupation as a propaganda and recruitment tool for the global jihadist cause. And where is the global jihadist cause? Well, they have already, since George Bush became president, there have been al-Qaeda attacks in Saudi Arabia, in Morocco in May, there was suicide bombings, in Indonesia in August, in Turkey in November, in Sudan and Yemen. As we bear down on Iraq, Hoffman says, Al-Qaeda is bearing down on us. Chatter on websites affiliated with Al-Qaeda reveals that the jihadists are constantly monitoring America. I mean, this is truly spooky. This is what Wesley Clark has been talking about. I think it's important for people to listen to a little deeper than just the campaign rhetoric. You know, were you against the war or for the war, and when was that? You know, those kind of things, which are the questions that the fluff journalists like to ask. And listen to the actual point that both Howard Dean and Wesley Clark have been making. When they say this was the wrong war at the wrong time, what they're saying is that, number one, we really, you know, we never finished in Afghanistan. We have a nascent disaster there right now. And the Taliban is back aggressively. The warlords have taken over the territory. The women are women wearing burqas again. Remember Laura Bush saying, oh, we've got to liberate the women of Afghanistan. Well, we didn't. I mean, we did for a few months, but we didn't. And Al-Qaeda is back in Afghanistan. Osama is still alive somewhere, most likely, on the border between Afghanistan and Pakistan. So, number one, we never really finished that war. And number two, by going into Iraq, which had nothing to do with Osama, nothing to do with Al-Qaeda, nothing to do with 9/11, what we've done is we've created this enormous, brilliant, effective recruiting tool for Osama. Now, that said, we're there. And clearly, the only way that we will defuse the growing Iraqi rage on the part of average people at having their jobs slashed because American companies are coming in and buying their businesses and laying off people. American companies are bringing in people from outside Iraq to work more cheaply. We are importing cheap labor into Iraq. Halliburton and Bechtel are hiring people from other countries and bringing them into Iraq. The setting up of the Green Zone, we've got this area that is like a paradise in the middle of Iraq. Of course, it was Saddam's area that was the paradise. And it's walled off from the rest of Baghdad, in the middle of Baghdad. And it's where we have become the new Saddam in the eyes of many of the average Iraqis. We're censoring their newspapers now. We've shut down one of their television stations and networks. And this all just plays into the hands of Al-Qaeda. It absolutely says to them, hey, you know, here we are doing all these, I mean, say, how? Wow, we're rebuilding hospitals. No, it turns out that we really haven't started any of these rebuilding efforts in a real and meaningful way. We're just rebuilding the oil infrastructure. That's largely it. And the stuff inside the Green Zone. We're, you know, rebuilding our own places for our own troops. But it's so important for us instead to get the rest of the world community in there, in particular to get the other Arab nations in there, and to rebuild the Iraqi police force, rebuild the Iraqi army, and for us to get out, and not for us to sell off illegally, in violation of the Geneva and the Hague Conventions, for us not to be selling off the 152 state industries to American companies that are good buddies with the Bush administration. Where you've got George Bush's former campaign manager over there in Iraq now running a consulting company to help companies in America buy Iraqi assets. I mean, this is just wrong. And it is not winning us friends in the region. It is absolutely not winning us friends in the region. 1-800-TALK, yes, our number, 1-800-825-5937. Turtle in Santa Fe is on the line. Hey, Turtle, welcome to the program.
Hey, Tom. There's no doubt that there is a Islamic fundamentalist militant movement worldwide, but the relationship with Al-Qaeda to American intelligence interests is so tight that when we talk about fundamentalist Islamic terrorism, we have to realize that a lot of this stuff is actually being sponsored by our so-called governments here in America and Israel, in order to legitimize increasing military buildup and a military foreign policy. One of the things that came out recently in a book by David Icke was that there were some people...
Let me stop you right there, Turtle. You say David Icke and you've lost all credibility in my mind. I mean, I heard him speak, and when he got to the part about how Bill... This was back when Bill Clinton was president. How Bill Clinton's actually a lizard person, and he gets up every morning and zips on his human suit. I mean, that was when I checked out.
Well, this isn't about that particular aspect.
I know, but you got another source?
Yeah, this is a source about a man and a woman who were going through Pakistan and came and happened upon... what they said was Osama bin Laden's hideout, and I can send you the documentation. It has nothing to do with what Dave is talking about, the lizard people. But these people trying to get in touch with all the proper channels in both Britain and America, and it appeared that nobody actually wanted to know about this place where they had found someplace in Pakistan that Osama bin Laden was hiding.
Yeah, this is Turtle. I'm sorry, we're out of time here, but also it's pretty thin. You send it to me. Sure, you can post it on our message board. Go to TomHartman.com, go to the message board and post it there. Everybody can look at it, and I'd be glad to look at it and you know, spread it, share it on the air if it's interesting. But I'm skeptical. Thanks for the call, though. I appreciate it. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Quick question. Ever had a cold that only lasted 4 hours? Anybody? Then why take a 4-hour cold medicine? Instead, take Aleve Cold and Sinus. One pill has the strength to give you 12 hours of relief. No stuffy nose, no throbbing head, all day. So what's it going to be? 12 hours of relief or symptoms that interrupt your day? Do I really need to ask?
Try non-drowsy Aleve Cold and Sinus. One pill, 12 hours of relief. Use as directed.
Mom, I think it's time we had the talk.
Oh, dear. We did that years ago. Remember I used the fruit basket?
Mom, remember when I introduced you to pedicures and power shopping?
That was dope.
Dope, Mom.
Oh, yeah.
Now you're going to learn how to feel like a goddess.
Let me get the fruit basket.
Mom, listen. For the holidays, I'm getting you a Venus razor. You get the closest shave and silky smooth skin.
That sounds ripe.
Fresh, Mom.
Let the women in your life in on the secret of the Venus razor. Venus from Gillette. Reveal the goddess in you.
Excuse me. Pardon me.
Slow down, Kyle. You'll choke on your coffee.
Can't. I have to finish getting the newsletter out before I can do anything else on my schedule today.
I used to have that problem before I discovered the Newsletter Factory.
Well, how'd they help you?
Their expert team of writers, editors, designers, and project coordinators do all my hard work for me. The Newsletter Factory even developed a readership survey that helped me produce the most appropriate content.
Sounds great, but I like doing some of the writing. It's just technical stories and layouts that bog me down.
No problem. In addition to turnkey projects, the Newsletter Factory gives you a smorgasbord of services from design and proofread to edit or full write. The Newsletter Factory can also help with printing and mailing. They keep you informed the whole way. Plus, the process is cost-effective and streamlined, so the Newsletter Factory doesn't have to compensate for lost time or mistakes.
Just like a factory.
Now you're catching on. Call the Newsletter Factory at 800-788-9550 to get started today. Or visit them on the web at www.newsletterfactory.com.
I will. Thanks.
I guess I better let the dog in.
Like the small dog that rules the house, Small Dog Electronics is the small computer company that really rules when it comes to customer service. Small Dog Electronics is your authorized Apple reseller in Waitsfield, Vermont. Sure, you can buy your computer out of a catalog, but how do you know you're really getting what you want or what you need? At Small Dog, they don't work on commission. Their only motivation is making sure you're a happy customer. Put your business on the leading edge with the world's fastest computer, the new Macintosh G5. You'll finish the job ahead of the pack, and automatic security updates lock out viruses. That's speed and dependability that will keep you focused on your customers instead of sitting on hold with tech support.
I guess you want to get on the couch, huh?
Like the small dog who everybody makes room for, Small Dog Electronics is big on customer service. Small Dog Electronics. Check them out on the web at smalldog.com or at their showroom on Route 100 in Waitsfield.
No way. You're not getting on the bed.
First appearance of Superman in Action Comics number 1, $400,000. First appearance of Batman in Detective Comics number 27, $350,000. First appearance of Spider-Man in Amazing Fantasy 15, $50,000. Listening to that comic book show and envisioning two fat guys in tights, priceless.
Listen to that comic book show Sundays from 9 p.m. to 10 Eastern on the IE America Radio Network.
Animal.
Animal Talk, helping you with your pets and talking to celebrities, like from The Cosby Show and the Dr. Doolittle movies, Raven Simone. Do you have any pets of your own?
I do. I have two chinchillas and I have a big Briard.
Do you train your dog?
I don't. I just give him love and take him out, so he better love me because I have to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
So here you are, Charisse Doolittle, who talks to the animals, and you don't even train your own dog. Nothing but love.
Nothing but love. All they need is love.
Animal Talk, Saturdays and Sundays on the IE America Radio Network.
Tom Hartman Show.
Yeah, we're going to catch him doing something right. Senator Bob Graham of Florida said today that he will file a bill to prohibit charging service members for meals while they are hospitalized as a result of injuries or illnesses suffered while in combat or training for combat. Graham says, how can we justify spending billions of dollars on no-bid contracts to rebuild Iraq, then turn around and charge an injured soldier $8.10 a day for meals while he's being treated for war injuries? Marine Staff Sergeant Bill Merwin of Devon. He was billed $243 for his meals while he was in the hospital because his foot got blown off in Iraq. Ain't privatization wonderful? So Bob Graham says he's going to put into Congress a law saying no more. It's against the law to charge service members for their meals. Thank you, Bob Graham. Well done.
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Happy holidays, and boy, is it snowing here in the Green Mountains of Vermont. We're in the right in the middle of Vermont here in our Athenwood studio, and the snow, great big, huge, fluffy flakes. It's stacked up 4 or 5 inches high on top of the telephone wires and the power lines. They're all kind of stretched down, and the trees are all drooping, and there's about 2.5 feet of snow on the ground. It is absolutely, it's like something out of a Courier-ized postcard. It is absolutely beautiful. And a little scary, because it hasn't stopped. The power went out twice in the middle of the night last night. And we'll see what happens. I look forward to the day when we get those things that that were being developed during the Carter administration, that Reagan put the kibosh on, community power stations. And they were actually quite far along. You know, a significant portion of our electricity gets lost in what are called transmission line losses. You push electricity for a couple hundred miles over high tension wires, and you'll lose 5, 10, 15, 20, in some cases as much as 30% of that electricity just from the resistance of the wire. So you can build community stations. You can build local power stations that are much smaller, that are less polluting, that are less intensive. And less expensive and more reliable, and you don't have, you know, entire power grids and things crashing. The problem is that one big corporation can't control them. You know, they theoretically could, but it's a lot harder. When local communities generate their own power, local communities tend to say, hey, this is ours. You know, as over in Burlington, Vermont, they're doing that. They're actually generating a good chunk of the electricity for that city from wood chips. And it's like the leftover, you know, wood is a big industry here, cutting sawmills and things, you know, cutting trees. And the leftover scrap, they run through that thing. And so now there's an incentive when they go out and log a piece of land, there's an incentive to pick up the wood that's left over because they can sell it to this power plant, whereas it used to just be left. And so now the forests are cleaner. There's less junk. There's less trash from the cutting operations. Everybody wins. Anyhow. I got off on that because it would be cool to have local power. It's a little spooky. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Truth in Broadcasting. Stay tuned. We'll be back after the news.
It's coming from the fields that this ain't exactly real. Or it's real, but it ain't exactly there. From the war against disorder, from the sirens.
been listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2003.
Doug, listening to you sing Back in the Saddle Again just goes to show what happens when Nancy isn't around to rein you in. God help us and anyone else listening in at that time. I think that was very nice. I'm back in the saddle again.
There's a certain pumpkin patch charm to you when you do this.
Really?
Well, doggy.
On the IE America Radio Network.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. Guerrillas ambushed a U.S. military patrol with small arms fire, killing one soldier, the military said Thursday, and suspected Saddam Hussein loyalists killed a representative of a major Shiite political party. The U.S. soldier was killed Wednesday night when the 1st Armored Division patrol came under fire in Al-Karma in northwest Baghdad, the military said. Another American was injured, as was an Iraqi interpreter. In Baghdad, suspected followers of Saddam shot to death Muhammad al-Hakim, a representative of a major Shiite party and a member of a prominent political family. U.S. Senator Bill Nelson said Monday the Bush administration last year told him and other senators that Iraq not only had weapons of mass destruction, but they had the means to deliver them to East Coast cities. The website truthout.org reports that Nelson, a Florida Democrat, said about 75 senators got that news during a classified briefing before last October's congressional vote, authorizing the use of force to remove Saddam Hussein from power. Nelson voted in favor of using military force. Nelson said he couldn't reveal who in the administration gave the briefing. The White House directed questions about the matter to the Department of Defense. Defense officials had no comment on Nelson's claim. For the first time, the chairman of the independent commission investigating the September 11th attacks is saying publicly that 9/11 could have and should have been prevented, reports CBS News. This is a very, very important part of history, and we've got to tell it right, said Thomas Kane. As you read the report, you're going to have a pretty clear idea what wasn't done and what should have been done, he said. This was not something that had to happen. There are people that, if I was doing the job, would certainly not be in the position they were in at the time because they failed. They simply failed, Kane said. Kane promises major revelations in public testimony beginning next month from top officials in the FBI, CIA, Defense Department, National Security Agency, and maybe President Bush and former President Clinton. More IE America Network news after this.
Hello, I'm Rita Moreno. You may have a serious eye condition and not even know it. Vision loss is not a normal part of aging. Some vision changes are normal. Some are due to eye disease. Do you know the difference? Open your eyes to the facts. To get more information about vision and aging or to find out about what help is available if you're having vision problems, call Lighthouse International at 1-800-829-0500 or visit www.lighthouse.org.
Modern-day aviators failed on Wednesday to duplicate the pioneering flight of the Wright brothers as a replica of their primitive 1903 flying machine flopped in the mud at the site of the original flight. An exact copy of the Wright Flyer trundled down a wooden rail, but failed to generate the speed and lift necessary to fly. For IE America Network News, this is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Wish I could watch some TV.
If only my couch wasn't 43,000 feet away.
When you're in bed with the flu, the smallest distance can seem impossible.
If only the medicine cabinet wasn't way across the state line.
If only. If only you had the strength. You need Advil Flu and Body Ache. The power of Advil so nothing works harder on body aches, headaches, and fever. Plus a hard-working decongestant. Makes having the flu a lot more comfortable.
Now, if only I had a plasma TV.
Fight the flu with Advil Flu and Body Ache. Use as directed.
Old loopholes never die. They just get loopier and loopier. One such is a special tax break gouged into federal law back in 1980 by corporate lobbyists. In response to the energy crisis of the time, this loophole was ostensibly created to give companies an incentive to devise marketable alternatives to imported oil. But all it really has done is give companies an excuse to dodge paying the taxes they owe to Uncle Sam. The loophole is the Synfuels tax credit for companies that reprocess coal to create new synthetic fuels. But the law's provisions are so vague that corporations have been able to claim the tax break, even if their reprocessing doesn't work, doesn't reduce our dependence on oil, actually uses oil products in the so-called reprocessing, is never marketed, or is just plain silly. How silly? So silly that the IRS has given the Synfuels tax credit to companies that have done nothing but spray starch or diesel fuel or even Elmer's glue on coal. Corporations, ranging from utilities to the Marriott hotel chain, have leapt through this loophole like wolves leaping for a lamb chop. The result is that they have dodged about $2 billion a year in taxes they owe, a wad that the rest of us ordinary taxpayers have to make up, either in increased taxes or reduced services. This scam will soon grow to $10 billion a year, for more corporations have spied the lamb chop and are going for it. Finally, the IRS decided to crack down by reviewing whether the company's so-called Synfuels actually worked. Yet, even this long-overdue step was assailed by Synfuel profiteers, their lobbyists, and their puppets in Congress. They went after the IRS, threatening the agency's enforcement budget and hauling the IRS commissioner to the woodshed. Unsurprisingly, the IRS recently succumbed to the corporate pressure. This is Jim Hightower saying, so the loopiness keeps getting loopier, and the rich keep getting richer.
If you had the chance to date Anna Nicole Smith, would you?
I found her appealing a few years ago, but there were things about her that intrigued me. That's all. I mean, I don't always get intrigued
by them. I just can't believe you, of all people, would choose a date based simply on the physical.
Are you kidding? I hate to disappoint you.
You're a dirty dog.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
For a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, this is the Democracy Zone with Tom Hartman. To talk with Tom Hartman, call 1-800-TALK-YES. Here's Tom.
And welcome back. It's Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Day 157 since...
At the end of the day, it's of keen interest to me to see whether or not we can get Karl Rove frog marched out of the White House in handcuffs.
Since Karl Rove or company or friends committed treason, the traitorous act of outing a Central Intelligence Agency officer and her entire project, subjecting them to danger.
And trust me, when I use that name, I measure my words.
Yes. Day 311 in the search for weapons of mass destruction. Day 799 in the search for anthrax, the anthrax killer, and day 820 in the search for Osama bin Laden. You know, I never did have in my list the number of days that we were searching for Saddam. I just figured, you know, what does that have to do with 9/11? What does that have to do with the United States? I mean, other than the fact that George decided to get himself reelected with a war there. Anyhow, for this hour, I wanted to look at and ask the question: what are the consequences of this widespread corporatism in America. What are the consequences? How is it being played out? The corporate takeover of so much of America, so much of our infrastructure, so much of our commons. You know, the corporations taking over our government, perhaps our most important commons, because it is the commons, the thing that we own in common, which protects all the other commons. Our parks, our water, our air, our food, our transportation systems, our communication systems, all of the commons that we choose to administer with and by each other. And I think this is our quote for the day, in fact, Franklin Roosevelt, "Let us never forget that government is ourselves and not an alien power over us. The ultimate rulers of our democracy are not a president and senators and congressmen and government officials, but the voters of this country." Franklin D. Roosevelt. By the way, I want to mention our program today, sponsored by the Newsletter Factory in Atlanta, Georgia. If you are a company that wants to communicate effectively with potential customers or with your internal employees, a company, a union, any kind of organization, actually, that produces a newsletter for communication. And newsletters are one of the most efficient, effective, cost-effective ways of communicating with anybody under any circumstance. They have the credibility of a newspaper, and they cost less than advertising. One of the leader in the United States in producing high-quality newsletters for companies large and small is the Newsletter Factory. Newsletterfactory.com is their website, and you will hear their ad on this program. New York's comptroller is from the Houston Chronicle, Washington Bureau. This is a Houston newspaper, so it's got kind of a Houston spin on it, the Houston Chronicle. And they're a little concerned down in Houston that all these Houston-based companies are starting to come under the evil eye of New York City. Now, what is it? William Thompson Jr., he's the nasty guy. He's the comptroller for New York City, and he manages the New York Police and Fire Department pension funds. And he has been, according to the Houston Chronicle, agitating for months. Now, why? Why has the comptroller of New York City been agitating for months about companies in Houston? Well, turns out that there are a bunch of Houston companies that are either based in Houston or have major offices in Houston that are doing business with that axis of evil nation, Iran, that are supplying goods and services, expertise, and products to Iran. One of the members of the Axis of Evil. One of those countries that you're not supposed to do business with. Now, our legislators, in their wisdom, passed a law that said that you can't do this. You can't do business with Iran. And so what these companies did was they set up offshore affiliates, the most popular being the Cayman Islands, because if you set up an offshore affiliate in the Cayman Islands, you also don't have to pay federal income tax, and the Caymans don't charge income tax. You just have to pay the $30,000 or $40,000 a year fee to be there, so it's like a little revenue source for the Caymans. These companies are doing business in Iran from Houston via the Cayman Islands, and the New York City comptroller, William Thompson Jr., says, wait a minute, we have millions of dollars invested with these companies. And we're a little concerned, since it was the Axis of Evil, supposedly, that attacked us, kind of ignoring the fact that most of the 9/11 guys were Saudis. But nonetheless, it's the Axis of Evil that is supposed to be after us. We're a little concerned that our money from our police and fire pension funds are going to support these companies. And who are the companies? Well, the biggest one, the one that they're the most concerned about, the one that the New York pension funds have invested $31 million in, The one that New York Comptroller William Thompson Jr. says, if we are trying to eradicate terrorism, we must ensure that companies in our portfolio are not using offshore subsidiaries to legally evade United States sanctions against terrorist-sponsoring states. What company are they talking about? Halliburton. New York City's comptroller is prodding a Houston-based Halliburton company to release more details about its business dealings with Iran, says the Houston Chronicle. In March, Halliburton officials promised to detail the company's Iranian operations. In exchange, Thompson agreed, this is the New York comptroller, agreed to withdraw a shareholder proposal urging the board to reconsider doing business in Iran. So that was in March. And then in October, a few months later, Halliburton sent Thompson a report stamped confidential. Company officials, according to the Houston Chronicle, hoped the information would remain secret until Halliburton issued its 2003 annual report, which actually comes out next year in 2004. Thompson, however, posted the report on his website. So this guy, he says, okay, you guys want to play business with, you want to do business with Iran, violating the spirit of the law, we're going to tell people about it. In that document, Halliburton revealed that it's Halliburton Products and Services Limited, a Cayman Islands firm headquartered in the United Arab Emirates, expected to sell more than $39 million worth of oil field services to customers in Iran this year. Halliburton also owns a British oil tool company and three engineering outfits based in the United Kingdom and Sweden, which also do business in Iran. In working in Iran, here's Halliburton's excuse. We are doing business in Iran. Now, keep in mind, this is the Houston Chronicle. So they're looking at it from the Houston point of view. In working in Iran, Halliburton said it was competing against the foreign affiliates of a number of companies well known in Houston, including Schlumberger, Baker Hughes, Smith International, Weatherford, ABB, Vetco Gray, FMC, and Cooper Cameron. The spokesperson for Halliburton, whose name is here somewhere, Wendy Hall says, if the New York comptroller has a problem with U.S. policy toward Iran, quote, we suggest he address that concern to Congress or the executive branch, end quote. Yeah, right. Call up Dick Cheney and say, we don't think that Halliburton should be making money in Iran. Well, in fact, that concern has been addressed to Congress, and Congress did pass a law saying American companies can't do business in Iran. Congress also passed a law saying American companies have to pay taxes to America. But when Dick Cheney was the CEO of Halliburton, he presided over an era when they went from a few offshore subsidiaries, my recollection is that it was fewer than 10, to more than 70. And for 3 years in a row, not only did not pay any taxes to the United States government, but actually got refunds for taxes paid in previous years. Not because they were losing money, although they ultimately did the last year that he was president of Halliburton, but because they had moved all of their profits into their Cayman Islands subsidiaries. So then she says, petition Congress. Well, also, in the $87 billion appropriation for the war on Iraq, for Bush's war in Iraq, the Democrats in the United States Senate had, with the help of a few Republicans actually, had put in a rider, a provision which said that no company that has set up offshore companies, no American company that has set up offshore subsidiaries for the purposes of avoiding paying income taxes in the United States or to do business with countries that are on the officially banned list of countries to do business with, any company that does that is not going to get any part of this $87 billion. That was originally part of the $87 billion bill. And guess what happened when that got to Tom DeLay's desk? What are the consequences of the corporatization of America? Rampant corruption. This is the most, I am absolutely certain, this is the most corrupt administration in the history of the United States. Teapot Dome,
You know, Albert Fell, one guy who was the Secretary of the Interior, you know, cutting a deal to sell off oil leases to a buddy for a few $100,000. And it was a scandal that rocked the administration, that rocked America. It was nothing compared to what these guys are up to. Nothing compared to it. And it gets stranger. Now we've got these electronic voting machine companies. You remember Chuck Hagel, who was the president of ES&S, one of the electronic voting machine companies in Nebraska. He went to that job after working for George H.W. Bush in Washington, D.C. for many, many years. And then once he had sold, as president of the voting machine company, his voting machines to the state of Nebraska, where he lived, he decided to run for the United States Senate in what the Washington Post called the upset of the year. When the votes were tabulated on his voting machines, he won primary victories that nobody expected, and he threw out of office the incumbent Democratic governor of the state, who was the odds-on favorite, and became a United States senator. Well, the plot thickens with the voting machine companies here. A little tip from Bev Harris I'll share with you after this break. You're in the real free speech zone, where it doesn't require a cave and barbed wire to hold you in. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Quick question. Ever had a cold that only lasted 4 hours? Anybody? Then why take a 4-hour cold medicine? Instead, take Aleve Cold and Sinus. One pill has the strength to give you 12 hours of relief. No stuffy nose, no throbbing head, all day. So what's it going to be? 12 hours of relief or symptoms that interrupt your day? Do I really need to ask?
Try non-drowsy Aleve Cold and Sinus. One pill, 12 hours of relief. Use as directed.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
I guess I better let the dog in.
Like the small dog that rules the house, Small Dog Electronics is the small computer company that really rules when it comes to customer service. Small Dog Electronics is your authorized Apple reseller in Waitsfield, Vermont. Sure, you can buy your computer out of a catalog, but how do you know you're really getting what you want or what you need? At Small Dog, they don't work on commission. Their only motivation is making sure you're a happy customer. Put your business on the leading edge with the world's fastest computer, the new Macintosh G5. You'll finish the job ahead of the pack, and automatic security updates lock out viruses. That's speed and dependability that will keep you focused on your customers instead of sitting on hold with tech support.
I guess you want to get on the couch, huh?
Like the small dog who everybody makes room for, Small Dog Electronics is big on customer service. Small Dog Electronics. Check them out on the web at smalldog.com or at their showroom on Route 100 in Waitsfield.
No way. You're not getting on the bed.
If you're looking for the latest in cutting-edge technology and the products that everyone is talking about, tune into tomorrow right here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the highly interactive radio program with experts featuring the latest in consumer electronics, technology, computers, and the Internet. We cover all things cool, like digital photography and video, home theater and audio, home automation, gadgets and gizmos, the technology of making music, computer peripherals, HDTV, DVD, MP3s, car audio, navigation and security, and lots more. If it draws current, We talk about it. Let us bring you into tomorrow. Check out our website anytime at graveline.com and join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, here on the IE America Radio Network.
Hi, this is Suzanne Cowardy.
I'm El Bracciotti, the famous mariachi.
Whatever.
This is Renee Scarponi.
Hey, baby.
This is Kim Kasnick.
Yeah, baby.
This is John Lucas.
Hey.
This is Stephanie Stryker.
Yeah, bud.
This is Steve Damschutter.
This is Shaw Jones.
This is Bill Vellner.
Yeah.
Hi, this is Ron Metzinger.
From our family, cheers. Have a
happy holiday and a great new year.
Isn't that just too cute?
I like Santa Claus.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Where has all the power gone? Long time hassling. Where has all the power gone? Make mine to go. Where has all the power gone? Ask the U.S. everyone. What will they ever earn? What will they ever earn? Fox and CNN. Where have all the spin docs gone? Mine's named Shlomo. Where have all the spin docs gone? Swilling wine with number one. What will they ever earn? Money's theirs to burn.
And welcome back. It's Tom Hartman. Uncommon Sense from the Radical Middle here on the IE America Radio Network. The influence of corporations on government, the rise of corporate power in America is, I believe, going to be the largest issue. It is the largest issue that we face. It's just that most people don't realize it. Well, yeah, there's a sense that people have that there's something up. There's a sense that there's something wrong. But exactly what that might be, they're not really sure. Yeah, a lot of this has to do with a Supreme Court case that happened back in 1886. I want to tell you about after the break at the bottom of the hour. And we're seeing it echoing through so many of these different things. The boycott of the Safeway stores that the unions are now calling for, the voting machine company information, for example, voter advocate Bev Harris alleged Tuesday that managers of a subsidiary of Diebold, Inc., one of the country's largest voting equipment vendors, included a cocaine trafficker, a man who conducted fraudulent stock transaction, and a programmer jailed for falsifying computer records. This programmer wrote and maintained proprietary code used to count hundreds of thousands of votes as senior vice president of Global Election Systems, Inc., which Diebold purchased in January 2002. He had served time in a Washington correctional facility for stealing money and tampering with computer files in a scheme that involved a high degree of sophistication and planning. A little spooky there. 1-800-TALK-YES, our number, 1-800-825-5937. If you have thoughts on this and similar topics, Mike in Washington, D.C. is on the line. Hey, Mike, welcome to the program.
Hey, Tom, how are you doing?
I'm great. And you?
I'm here, waiting for Friday.
Okay. What's up?
Just a quickie about Albert Fall and the Teapot Dome.
Yeah.
You do realize that that is where we get the word fall guy from, correct?
No, I didn't know that.
Yes. And the reason that we get the word fall guy is that Albert Fall got convicted of taking a bribe that Doheny was acquitted for having paid him.
Oh, interesting.
And
so the corporate guy got away.
Correct.
And the government and the civil servant took the fall.
Correct.
That was during the Harding administration, wasn't
yes.
it?
Yes.
Yeah, that was my recollection. Interesting.
And
it was only like $300,000 too, wasn't it?
Do you remember? Oh, yeah. I mean,
amazing.
That was a lot of money back then, but
yeah, it might have been the equivalent of maybe $3 million or $3.5 million.
Correct.
$5 or $10 million or something like that, but nothing like $87 billion. Well, we've spent over $150 billion now in Iraq. The cost $80 billion for the first invasion, and And, yeah, Shar says that's a lot of money now. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And the stupid thing is that this administration is just light years more corrupt than even the Harding administration, which used to be thought of as the pinnacle.
Well, I think the U.S. Grant, the Ulysses S. Grant administration, was considered pretty corrupt, too. I mean, Grant wanted to run for re-election for a third term, and his own Republican Party refused to renominate him because he was so corrupted by the railroad bribery scandals.
Well, yeah, but so was the entire Senate, which was Republican at the time.
Yeah.
The Credit Mobilier scandal, where they were literally going down on the floor of the Senate and handing out these stock vouchers for Credit Mobilier.
Yeah. Yeah. Mike, thanks for the call. Thanks for the info. Thanks for the tip about the Fall Guy. Fascinating, fascinating little bit of history there. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Stay tuned. We've got an interesting story about the voting machines in Florida coming right up. We'll be right back.
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, and just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
Hi, this is John Lucas from Operations here at IE America Radio Network, wishing you and yours a safe and happy holiday.
The world is running up an ecological debt that might be impossible to repay. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. Scientists estimate that humans are using 20% more of the world's resources than it can regenerate. Mathis Wackernagel heads a group called the Ecological Footprint Network in Oakland, California. He compares our standing with nature to a financial debt.
We can use more ecological goods and services than are being regenerated in a similar way as we can use more money than we earn, which is going to debt. In the same way, nature has some endowment that we can draw down or we can maintain. Now it seems that we're using it faster than it's being regenerated. So we can do that for some time, like we can go into debt for some time financially, but it's not a long-term strategy that is viable.
Wackernagel says it's important to think of natural resources the same way you think about money.
We see the consequences of running an economic deficit for a nation. We know what the consequences will be in the future. The same thing applies to ecological resources, too. By withdrawing them, leaving in debt for future generations, somebody will have to pay for it.
Wackernagel says the purpose of measuring our natural debits and credits is to maintain a quality of life that can be sustained over the long run.
The goal is to make sure all people can live well, recognizing there's a limited budget, like with our financial budget. It would be easier to have two planets, perhaps, but we only have one, so we have to find out how can we live best within the budget that is available to us.
Wackernagel says we're overdrawing that budget, and we need to get back in balance with nature's accounts. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
Animal Talk, your animalogical super information highway about pets. Every Saturday and Sunday, we take your calls, help you with your pets, give away some prizes, and talk to celebrities like, from Eight Is Enough, Dick Van Patten.
I've been listening to your show. It's fascinating. It's very interesting.
We're nuts, aren't we?
I can see why people would call you up. You really know what you're talking about. It's terrific. Very, very informative.
Uh-oh, we got him on the wrong channel.
Animal Talk, Saturday noon to 2, Sunday 7 to 9 p.m. on the IE America Radio Network.
Do the Republicans or the Democrats have a clear vision for America that actually includes democracy, fairness, and justice? Do the Greens or the Progressives? How can we create a shared vision of the kind of future we want for our children? This is Tom Hartman, and I'll be exploring these and many other issues with guests from a wide variety of viewpoints, as well as taking your calls.
The Tom Hartman Show, 12 p.m. till 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
the best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Radio Network, the bumper music there reminds me of the song Ghost Chickens in the Sky. A tragicomedy of errors fuels Volusia recount. But this was an article by Dana Milbank in the Washington Post. This is on page 822 of the Washington Post back on November 12th of the year 2000. This is a week after the Bush-Gore election. Okay, put it in time. And I'm reading from the Washington Post, something very strange happened on election night to Deborah Tannenbaum, a Democratic Party official in Volusia County, Florida. At 10 p.m., she called the county elections department and learned that Al Gore was leading George W. Bush 83,000 votes to 62,000. But when she checked the county's website for an update half an hour later, she found a startling development. Gore's count had dropped by 16,000 votes, while an obscure socialist candidate had picked up 10,000 votes, all because of a single precinct with only 600 voters. It turns out it had to do, Douglas Daniels, a lawyer for Al Gore here, keep in mind this was written 2 years ago. A lawyer for Al Gore here predicts that there will be, quote, television movies about how the election was stolen in Volusia County, end quote. He frets that Volusia will become the conspiracy theorist's new, quote, grassy knoll gunman, end quote. I'm quoting within a quote, of course. This is all from this article in the Washington Post on November 12th of 2000, 3 years ago. County spokesman David Byron boasts that a recount found exactly the same tally. They decided to check these voting machines, computerized voting and computerized counting, right? They decided to check them. And county spokesman David Byron boasts that a recount found, quote, exactly the same, end quote, tally, and suggests that this vindicates the county. But the recount he refers to, I'm reading from the Washington Post, but the recount he refers to was a comparison between the data in the computer and the computer's printout. The actual ballots were not scrutinized. That's a little like saying a word processing document contains no spelling errors because a printout matches the version on the screen. Well, what about that 16,000 vote change where suddenly Al Gore, who was ahead, was behind because 16,000 votes disappeared on election night? Well, it turns out, they say, that it was caused by, quote, faulty memory cards in the machines, end quote. I wrote a long piece about this kind of thing. I'd overlooked this one particular incident, but similar things happened in Texas. Similar things happened in other counties in Florida. Similar things have been happening all over the United States. Down in Alabama, the governor won, the Democratic governor in the 2002 election, and then overnight the electronic voting machine lost 8,000 votes, and suddenly he wasn't winning anymore. He tried to sue. The Republicans said he was a whiner. And they had the power. They wouldn't let the lawsuit go through. What's the history of this? How did corporations come to be involved in the most vital part of the commons of the United States, our vote? How is it that a corporation, which is incorporated not for the purpose of protecting democracy. I mean, you know, it's marvelous if corporations are well-intentioned. I think every business that I've started and run, including the one that provides this radio show to this network, has been started with the idea of doing something good. I remember one of my early mentors in business. This was back in 1970, back in the 70s, 78 as I recall, was a fellow who had started Oxfam here in the United States. Nathan Gray, as I recall, is his name. And he had started a lot of different things in his life, and I asked him about that, and he said, I have three criteria for deciding whether I'm going to get into doing something, whether I'm going to start a business or a nonprofit or something. And he said, and they're in descending order of importance. The least important is, can I make a good living at it? The second, the more important than that, is, will it have a positive impact on the world? Will it change the world in a positive way? And the number one, first most important thing is, can I have a heck of a lot of fun doing it? And he said, and if I can say yes to all three of those things, then I'll go ahead and I'll start something new. And that was the filter that Louise and I ran this program through when we decided to start this. And it's run as a business. I mean, it's a business. We contract with the network. I own the show. And so, yeah, there's a lot of businesses that have a social conscience. And I'm pleased to have them as sponsors on this program. And I honor that. But the fact of the matter is that any corporation, whether it's my company, whether it's Halliburton, whether it's a voting company, whether it's, you know, any corporation, has to its purpose of incorporation is not to protect democracy. I mean, that is simply, it's not there. The Supreme Court has ruled that a corporation's officers have to behave in a way that advances profit. If you run a corporation in a way that doesn't advance profit, the IRS can come in and say, hey, those losses that you're claiming are not legitimate. We're not going to let you take them. I mean, they'll actually come in and redo your bookkeeping for you. And, you know, and hit you with some fines and penalties. Corporations are a way of making money. I mean, that's the bottom line. There's nothing wrong with it. It's the American way. It's a good thing. But let's acknowledge it for what it is. A corporation is something to make money. And it's simply a vehicle. It's simply a tool. It's a way of organizing capital, a way of organizing cash, or organizing investors so that they can make money. And when this country was founded, one of the world's largest multinational corporation, the British East India Company, was so oppressive. It was wiping out small entrepreneurs up and down the East Coast. I mean, the founders were just totally furious about this. They were over it. We don't want no more of this. And on a cold December day, December 16th, as I recall, of 1773, they boarded three ships of the East India Company in the Boston Harbor and threw its tea in the water. So that's it. It was a $1 million act of vandalism against a corporation that was trying to pull a Walmart. This corporation had, through bribery and influencing in England, had gotten laws passed that gave it a huge tax break. This was the Tea Act of 1773 that prompted the Boston Tea Party. People think it was an increase in taxes, no taxation without representation. It was a decrease in taxes. The Tea Act that so infuriated the colonists was a cut in taxes. Look it up in the Encyclopedia Britannica. It's right there. And by cutting taxes for this one huge multinational corporation, all of the small entrepreneurs who were trying to import tea and all the little tea shops and the tea businesses up and down the eastern seaboard of the United States were facing economic ruin. The East India Company was threatening to take over not only the tea business, but they were involved in every other kind of business there was. And the colonists said, enough, we don't want this big corporation here. And the Boston Tea Party was the spark in December of 1773, the spark that lit the fuse of the American Revolution. And so the founders were very clear, we're not going to have corporations involved in governance. And they put very specific walls in place so that corporations could not participate in government, could not aggregate themselves in ways that got so large that they threatened government. And you know, it worked up until the Civil War. We don't have any dynasties left over from before the Civil War. But after the Civil War, Abraham Lincoln had suspended a lot of these laws, both at the federal level and overriding state laws, in order to make it possible to get war material made quickly so that he could fight the war. And after the Civil War, the railroads rose up, and in a famous court case, 1886, Santa Clara County versus Southern Pacific Railroad, the railroad went before the Supreme Court and argued that because corporations had historically been called artificial persons before the law, they had to have some status, some legal status in order to pay taxes and own land, and humans had been called human persons or natural persons, both using the word person, and because the 14th Amendment, which was written right after the Civil War to free the slaves, says no person shall be denied equal protection under the laws, that because that 14th Amendment didn't say no natural person, it simply said no person, that corporations should be entitled to rights under the Bill of Rights, along with human beings. Now, the Supreme Court ruled against that. The Supreme Court chose not to rule on that issue, which is the equivalent of ruling against it. They did not accept that argument. But the reporter of the Supreme Court, the clerk of the court, a man by the name of John Chandler Bancroft Davis, in 1887, when he wrote up the headnote, the commentary on the case, the first sentence of the commentary says, corporations are persons under the 14th Amendment and entitled to equal protection under the law, even though the decision did not say that. And for some reason that to this day has not been answered or understood, the Supreme Court since 1886 has been pointing back to that headnote, not to its decision, and saying corporations have human rights under the law. They have the right to privacy. They have the right of free speech. They have the right to lie. They have the right of Fifth Amendment rights against taking. They have the Fifth Amendment right not to testify against themselves. They have J.C. Penney in 1936 sued the state of Florida because the state of Florida, like many states all around the United States, had these laws in place that prevented that made it easier for small local entrepreneurial businesses to do business than for large predatory out-of-state businesses. In this case, it was a $25 annual business tax if you were an out-of-state corporation and a $5 annual business tax if you were an in-state corporation. J.C. Penney sued saying, hey, even though we are not a Florida corporation, we are a person. And the 14th Amendment, which was passed to free the slaves, says you cannot discriminate against persons. You can't divide them into one class or another. And therefore, you have to strike down that law that allows communities to protect themselves from large predatory corporations. And the Supreme Court looked back from 1936 back to 1886 at the headnote to that case, didn't bother to read the case. Usually the headnotes are accurate. And said, well, I guess if the court back in 1886 said corporations are persons, we have to go along with this. And that's why you can't stop a Walmart today. And now we have, you know, the Safeway and Albertsons and Kroger, parent of Ralph's, several thousand striking and locked out supermarket workers and their supporters marched to a pavilion store in Beverly Hills on Tuesday in the largest demonstration since the regional walkout began October 11th. You know, there's this huge strike going on for grocery workers, grocery stores in California. And why? Well, because in part the grocery stores are saying, we don't want to pay benefits, we don't want to pay these salaries because Walmart doesn't, and Walmart's getting into the grocery business. We're going to have to compete with them. And Walmart says, we don't want any unions. And all of this goes back to the fact that local communities cannot protect themselves and cannot protect their local businesses because of this misuse of the 14th Amendment, which was passed to free the slaves. Government businesses played according to rules, and the rules are defined by government, by we the people. And this can be remedied by government, but it's not being, not under this administration, not under these guys, no way, because they are the businesses that seek to corrupt the government. We have a CEO as our president for the first time in the history of the United States. A CEO as vice president for the first time in the history of the United States. And corporate America is making out very well, thank you very much. 1-800-TALK-YES is our telephone number. If you would like to call, if you have thoughts on this, 1-800-TALK-YES. Rob in Newtown, Pennsylvania is on the line. Hey, Rob, welcome to the program. Rob from opednews.com.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, Rob.
Well, you know, I wrote a piece about this recently. It's called It's Time to Declare War on Terminator Megacorporations. And I call them Terminators because they're the kind of companies that would send Terminators, and they're already in the process of attacking this country and humanity. And they're doing it both directly by getting by contributing to Bush and getting these laws changed that affect the environment and pollution laws and worker protection laws. And they're doing it maybe a little less directly by exporting jobs to the cheapest labor sources in the world. And it's a war. I think it's a full-out war that they've declared. This past summer, Bill Moyer said that there's a class war going on and the other guys are winning. Well, it's a class war that the corporations are fueling and driving.
Yeah, and they have been ever since 1773. They were more or less under control until the 1870s, and then they rose up, and then Teddy Roosevelt came along in 1907, passed a law saying it's illegal for a corporation to contribute money to politicians. That lasted for a little while. But then they figured out ways around that, and now we've got this McCain-Feingold.
Well,
they figured out ways around that.
Your book, Unequal Protection, is a brilliant of how this came about, the developed personhood. I wish that some of the Democratic presidential candidates would take a stand on corporate personhood, because that's something that seems to me one of the main things that has to be changed.
Yeah, I agree, Rob. I absolutely agree. And to that end, I gave a copy of my book to both Dennis Kucinich and Howard Dean. We'll see if they read them. Rob, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. 1-800-TALK-YES. Jeff in Santa Fe is on the line. Hey, Jeff, we got about a half a minute here. What's up? Jeff? Oh, I guess we don't even have a half a minute. Jeff, hold on the line. I'll pick you up on the other side of this break. My clock must be off. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Mom, I think it's time we had the talk.
Oh, dear. We did that years ago. Remember I used the fruit basket?
Mom, remember when I introduced you to pedicures and power shopping?
That was dope.
Dope, Mom.
Oh, yeah.
Now you're going to learn how to feel like a goddess.
Let me get the fruit basket.
Mom, listen. For the holidays, I'm getting you a Venus razor. You get the closest shave and silky smooth skin.
That sounds ripe.
Fresh, Mom.
Let the women in your life in on the secret of the Venus razor. Venus from Gillette. Reveal the goddess in you.
Quick question. Ever had a cold that only lasted 4 hours? Anybody? Then why take a 4-hour cold medicine? Instead, take Aleve Cold and Sinus. One pill has the strength to give you 12 hours of relief. No stuffy nose, no throbbing head, all day. So what's it going to be? 12 hours of relief or symptoms that interrupt your day? Do I really need to ask?
Try non-drowsy Aleve Cold and Sinus. One pill, 12 hours of relief. Use as directed.
The Founding Fathers thought they'd stop corporations from ever overthrowing elected government. Little did they know that 200 years later, democracy would be stolen and twisted in the name of so-called conservative values. Hi, this is Tom Hartman. The Founders of America fought the Revolutionary War against the excessive corporate power of the East India Company, and presidents from Jefferson to Eisenhower warned us that extremely big businesses could destroy democracy. You'll find this extraordinary American story in my book, Unequal Protection, The Rise of Corporate Dominance and the Theft of Human Rights. It starts with the Boston Tea Party and ends with the rampant corruption of the Bush administration. It tells the dramatic story of how corporations hijacked the Bill of Rights, setting the stage for the CEO takeover of America. And it shows how we can take America back and tells the stories of Americans from Pennsylvania to California who are doing just that right now.
Unequal Protection is available in bookstores nationwide. And you can read several chapters online at unequalprotection.com. That's Unequal Protection by Tom Hartman.
Excuse me. Pardon me.
Slow down, Kyle. You'll choke on your coffee.
Can't. I have to finish getting the newsletter out before I can do anything else on my schedule today.
I used to have that problem before I discovered the Newsletter Factory.
Well, how'd they help you?
Their expert team of writers, editors, designers, and project coordinators do all my hard work for me. The Newsletter Factory even developed a readership survey that helped me produce the most appropriate content.
Sounds great, but I like doing some of the writing. It's just technical stories and layouts that bog me down.
No problem. In addition to turnkey projects, the Newsletter Factory gives you a smorgasbord of services from design and proofread to edit or full write. The newsletter factory can also help with printing and mailing. They keep you informed the whole way. Plus, the process is cost-effective and streamlined, so the newsletter factory doesn't have to compensate for lost time or mistakes.
Just like a factory.
Now you're catching on. Call the newsletter factory at 800-788-9550 to get started today. Or visit them on the web at www.newsletterfactory.com.
I will. Thanks.
The Mike Mullet Show.
We are going to do Rumsfeld now. You know, I talk about doing acid 30 years ago. Rumsfeld must do it daily. Right before he goes out for a press conference, Rummy comes out all acid-headed up and, you know, just stoned on his ass, just completely freaked out.
Oh, hi. I noticed the doorknobs are all crawling around the ceiling. Hello. Ask me nothing. Get these spiders off of me. People are waving things at me. There's stuff jumping out of doors. Ew, Jesus. You know, the fire hose on the wall there. It just rose up like a snake. And you're asking me questions like, I don't know this stuff.
This is the Secretary of Defense, Truth Seeker. It's insane. Do you understand? These people are crazy.
Sell crazy someplace else. We're all stocked up here.
The Mike Mullet Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
I would like to see a law that says your organs automatically get donated unless you say no.
All right, Richie, have you got an organ donor specification?
No.
Why?
Because I don't want them taking me before I'm dead.
In Richie's case, what good would most of those organs be?
Certainly won't be going for his brain. Or they might, because it's never been used.
You might as well be dead. Your brain is, so why not the rest of you?
On the IE America Radio Network.
There's a new voice on IE America Radio Network. It's Never Better with Marina Colby. Sundays from 11 a.m. till noon Eastern on the IE America Radio Network. Never Better is an energetic show that explores and analyzes how you can be more successful people at work and in relationships. So make sure you tune in to Never Better with Marina Colby every Sunday from 11 a.m. till noon Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network. For more information, go to IEAmericaRadio.com.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network, where despair is not an option. Get active. Get political. Corporations are simply creatures of the law. They are created by law, by force of law. I'd like to thank, by the way, today, Brad Walrod for editing our music, Louise Hartman for producing our program, the extraordinary Shar Jones for engineering our show down in Detroit, and all the wonderful folks in our chat room who drop by TomHartman.com and click the link to the chat button and to the chat room and CompuServe forum, click the chat button there and hung out with us today. Kip is on the line in Santa Fe. Hey, Kip, we got a couple minutes left in the program. What's up?
Well, I'm really impressed by this. I've been depressed, really, by this matter of corporations acting like people but running all over us people in the process, and I'm sure glad you're out there in front with that. But could you go ahead a little bit farther, and maybe you have in previous shows, a little bit more about what are there any really active attorneys general like Spitzer or anybody else really
there's
working
a whole,
on this
there's
process
a whole movement,
trying,
Jeff.
Trying to get
yeah,
it
there's a whole movement of people trying to roll this stuff back, Jeff. It's the Women's International League for Peace and Freedom is one of the most active, WILPF on the .org on the Internet. They run ads on our...
Would you give that again, please?
Sure. WILPF, as in Women's International League for Peace. Tell you what, go to TomHartmann.com.
Okay.
And on the front page, you will see a list of my books. And one, and you'll either see a link that says Corporate Personhood or you'll see Unequal Protection. Click that link, and there's an entire website about this issue. There's a link to all the organizations that are working on this issue, and there's a whole bunch of them. Mm-hmm. There's a couple of different states. Matt Gonzalez, the guy who just lost the San Francisco, you know, to be the mayor of San Francisco, is very conscious about this, has been talking about this. In Arizona, the Green Party is talking about corporate personhood. In California, the city of Point Arena has passed a resolution. 10 communities in Pennsylvania have passed laws saying corporations can't be persons in their communities. A lot of activity. So you can just go to TomHartmann.com, click on Unequal Protection. It'll take you right to it. This is Tom Hartmann. Thanks for being with us today. Join us tomorrow, same time, same place.
Been listening to the Tom Hartmann program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartmann.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2003.
That Doug made his confession that he used hair color.
Yeah, yes, I was know. Expecting to make it the treatise of the last month. Aren't you guys sweet?
I would recommend sticking with one color, however, each month you'd have
I
want to
see you try the afro stuff.
Yeah, right. I'm going to do that.
I decided that it is not the color of the hair, but the head that it stuck to that's important. On the IE America Radio Network.
Anaconda.
Budgie.
Camel.
Dick Dick.
Emu.
Frog.
Gopher.
Hyena.
Iguana.
Jaguar.
Cuda Mundi.
Llama.